Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on the Premier Network on Saturday, May 20th, 2017. This is episode 1388. Enjoy. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by Upside, the smart new way to save big money on business travel. Visit Upside.com and enter the code TECHGUY, and you're guaranteed at least a $100 gift card when you book your first trip. And by Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. When it comes to the big decision of choosing a mortgage lender, work with one that has your best interest in mind. Use Rocket Mortgage for a transparent, trustworthy home loan process that's completely online at quickenloans.com/techguy. And by Texture. Access the world's most popular magazines anytime, anywhere, using your smartphone or tablet. Try it free for 14 days at texture.com/twit. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. Time to talk about computers and the internet and home theater and digital photography and smartphones and smartwatches and all that jazz. Augmented reality, Google I.O. 8888-ASK-LEO, that's the phone number, 888-827-5536. Toll free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada. Outside that area, you could still reach us. Just use your Skype there, your voice over the internet protocol program. As long as you can call a phone in the U.S., you can call 8888-ASK-LEO. I apologize. I picked a very bad week to get the flu. I was out last week with the flu, and turned out that was like the one week I should have been here to help you, and I am so sorry. It's as if the flu knew. Because last week was the week of WannaCry, the ransomware that bit, well, at last count, I think several hundred thousand computer systems, including 16 hospitals in the UK, infecting them, encrypting their data. And the reason this one was really bad is it was what we call a worm, a network-aware virus that would spread out over the local area network to find other computers to infect. And in effect, bring the whole establishment to its knees. Mostly affecting, about 98% affecting Windows 7. It's interesting, we were really worried because it was Windows XP was also vulnerable. And we were really worried that especially hospitals have, you know, one of the problems for hospitals, you might say, well, why didn't they update? Microsoft did offer a patch several months ago that would have prevented this infection. Why didn't they update? Well, in a hospital and in other what we call mission-critical environments, every update has to be certified that it's that you know the X-ray machine is going to continue to work as expected. Patients will be cared for as expected. And so that's a long, slow process. So hospitals don't update as quickly as normal businesses. And in many cases, you've got hardware like X-ray machines that are running Windows XP embedded and can't be updated. Those are the machines I was most worried about. Microsoft has pushed out a patch for XP, even though it said, we're not going to update XP anymore. They changed their mind. Reasonably so, because, you know, they have kind of a communal responsibility, don't they, to protect us all from something like this. But mostly Windows 7. According to Kaspersky Lab, 98% Windows 7, less than 1 in 1,000 running Windows XP. So it wasn't very common on XP. Although if you were running that X-ray machine, the 1 in 1,000 that got it, that's not so good. The issue, of course, is fairly complicated. First of all, who created this virus? And there's some evidence from the intelligence community that this might have been North Korea. It was maybe a state sponsored virus that wasn't so much about getting money as creating chaos and maybe revenge. They've done it before. Could be. We're going to see a lot more state-sponsored hacking, of course. And then the other side of this is that the state that caused the greatest damage in this case was the United States of America, because the little bug in Windows, file sharing, SMB file sharing, was discovered by and held closely by the NSA for years. They knew about it. You have to understand how our spy agencies, and their spy agencies for that matter, everybody's spy agencies work. When they find one of these, we call them exploits, because you can exploit the machine with them. When they find one of these exploits, they're not going to tell anybody. They're going to keep it. And they're going to keep it for a very specific purpose, not the kind of purpose WannaCry showed, which is kind of a mass infection. But the NSA, the CIA, the FBI, whatever exploits they have in their treasure troves, and we know they have many, they use those for targeted purposes. You've got a guy, you've got Dmitry, who is perhaps a mole, and you'd like to get, listen in on his systems. So if you can get a bug on one of his systems and then use this exploit to spread it to all of his systems in his house or his office, that's very valuable. It's kind of cyber bugging. We always think of bugging as being a microphone, and in fact it could be with a TVs with a microphone, or a smartphone with a microphone, or an Amazon Echo or a Google Home, or any number of devices have microphones in our house now. I just got a smart exercise bike, and it's got a microphone on it. One more thing. Oh, Dmitry is really sweating today. He's sweating to the oldies. But that's not the only kind of bugging. Cyber bugging includes, looking at the data stream. That's probably even more valuable than listening in on their conversations, looking at the data coming off of it. So they hold on to these. They don't tell anybody. And this makes Microsoft, Apple, Google, all the companies that make these, systems software, makes them very upset because, somebody knows there's a problem, but they don't tell anybody. And, of course, it's, often just a matter of time before bad guys find the same problem. They're looking just as hard as the NSA is. Or worse, as in this case, somebody at the NSA leaks. This was an exploit that was leaked out from... The NSA has a spy group working on these kinds of things called the Equation Group. It leaked out from the Equation Group by a group of hackers, shadowy group of hackers called, appropriately, the Shadow Brokers. And they dumped all of these on WikiLeaks some months ago. That's why Microsoft patched it. Microsoft combed through the Shadow Brokers dump, many, many, many gigabytes of data, looking for exploits they could fix quickly before the bad guys found them. And Microsoft did patch it a couple of months before the bad guys found them. But the bad guys found them, and not enough machines were patched. And the bad guys wreaked havoc with WannaCry. So Microsoft blames the NSA. Users blame Microsoft. There is no such thing as perfect software. We need to understand that. All software will have exploits, and the cat and mouse game is for the companies that make the software to find them before the bad guys find them, fix them before the bad guys exploit them. Here's the thing we all should be a little worried about. That was just one of many, 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 maybe hundreds or thousands of exploits in that Shadow Brokers dump, which are still out there. Microsoft is apparently patching. I hope they're patching. The lines are starting to ring. 8888 Ask Leo. Looks like my hotline's ringing. The program director probably says, don't talk about this. No talking. Dmitry, program director, say, no talk about the exploit. And so I expect that the bad guys will be trying other things like this. So what do you do? And this is why I feel bad I wasn't here. This is why I feel bad. If you're in fact, I had a meeting with my staff because I wanted to remind them. I said, I want you to hear my voice in the back of your head the next time you get an email that says, open this, or click this link, or I have a document to share with you. And it comes from me, or it comes from your direct boss, and you go, oh boy, quick, click that link. The boss is angry. I want you to hear my voice in the back of your head saying, wait a minute, hold on there. Be suspicious. You know what? I don't encourage people to be cynical, but in this case, be cynical. Be suspicious. Don't expect the worst. And put your thinking cap on. And if you're ever in doubt, remember these exploits. These come in the email often. This WannaCry did, and they come from someone you know. So call that person. Say, did you send me this? I'll tell you a funny story when we come back. But first, I want to take some calls too. So get those phones ringing. We could talk about this or anything else on your mind. 8888 Ask Leo. I'm back. I'm ready. I'm rested. Let's talk tech right after this. We're Putin on the Ritz. Jack Bauer on the phone. Now I don't know. I got in some menu mode. I don't know what to do here. Every once in a while, this phone forgets its settings and starts ringing. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888, Ask Leo. There's so much more to talk about. Boy, this was a busy couple of weeks. Google had its developers conference, Google I.O., and announced a bunch of interesting features that it's going to add to Google Photos, the new Android O. They haven't announced what dessert that will be, but that'll be coming out in a couple of months, they said, by the end of the summer. And I think of all the things they announced, the one that I thought might be most disruptive, you know, this Google Home device they have, which is their version of the Amazon Echo. You know, it just sits there and you talk to it. You say, hey, Google, and it goes, yeah, what? Yeah, what, dude? I wish you could change the voices on these. Yeah, what? You can make, they announced, or will be able to soon, make unlimited phone calls to any phone in the U.S. and Canada for free. That's kind of remarkable. Remember when a long-distance call? You're too young to remember that, Heather Hammond. But used to be you'd get on a long-distance call and you'd say, hey, can you hurry up? This is long-distance.
I'm calling you long-distance.
It's costing me a pretty penny. So Amazon's Echo makes phone calls, but only to other Echoes. But Google's new Home will make phone calls to any phone. You just say, call Mom. Which is kind of interesting. Like, why would you bother with a home phone? Can't think of any reason to, except for 911.
Yeah, for the fire department.
For the fire department. You could use your cell phone for that. I don't know. My mom asked me over the weekend. My weekend's Thursday, Friday. She said, should I get rid of my home phone? I said, no. Because it's cheap, and it's good to have something that works even in a snowstorm. She lives back east. Hello, Heather Hammond.
Hey! How you been?
Not so hot, but I feel good now. I feel fine now. I got some sort of weird, I guess the flu. I was back in Colorado for my son's graduation from college. I was so proud of him. I did get to go to the graduation, I'm happy to say. I just was a little, faint.
Oh, I think you did too many keg stands. Tell the truth.
Oh, gosh, you got me.
But I'm dying. It's been 4 years already. He graduated.
Yeah, can you believe it?
Wow.
There are people I work with who remember him just as a little kid. He was on. We put him on the screensavers when he was just like five.
Little dude.
Not even five. Yeah, five or six. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you've been answering calls, and I think we should probably. I feel so bad. I hate. This is, I think, the first weekend I've ever missed since 2004. I very rarely, except for vacations, but by being sick, sudden.
Right. Suddenly out of the blue, out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Kind of like that.
And so I feel
guilty
because things happened and I
sure did.
I wasn't here to take care of y'all.
Don't feel guilty, but I understand the feeling.
I'm lying there and I'm thinking, they need me. I said, Lisa, let me out of here. I got to go. I got to go to the show. She said, slide back down, you nitwit.
They strapped you in, right?
They had to. I hate missing a show, especially when something big's happening. Anyway, who should I talk to first?
Now we're here to save the
yes.
day. David in Boca Raton, Florida has that exact question.
A little late in the game, but I'm here. Thank you, Heather. Hello, David. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo. This is absolutely great to have you back. And yes, we definitely needed you because, with all the news about the virus attacking everybody on the planet, and the amazing thing that Microsoft decided supposedly to release the bug fix for that onto XP. And I also heard Vista, which I actually have one machine on Vista that actually works well and never gives me any problem, which I know is a shock. But
well,
anyway,
you know, remember last April, Vista went out of service a couple of years ago. XP went out of service. That just meant Microsoft said, we're not going to give you patches anymore. You're on your own, and you probably should upgrade. They really want people to upgrade for good reason. But you're right. You know, we're so used to if the car's running, keep driving it. If the TV works, why upgrade it? But in the term,
that's right.
Yeah, but operating systems aren't quite like that, I'm afraid.
So, at any rate, my question would be, I was trying to figure out where to get that download that would make it work. One would think they would have just put it on the regular Microsoft Update site. So you press Microsoft Update like you always did all the time before it was end of life, and you would just get it. Well, that didn't work. It sat there thinking about it forever, like searching, and who knows, nothing happened. So then I go, well, let me do some searches, you know, virus, da-da-da, Windows Vista. Nothing but all these strange things that are like some other sites and whatever. And I don't know, but I think you've kind of taught us, if you want to really get something that's real, you probably should just go to Microsoft.
Yeah, don't get it from any third party. So
exactly.
What you got to do, I guess they're not pushing it as an automatic update because that would then put the lie to their promise that we're not updating this anymore. So what you can do, though, is go directly to catalog.update.microsoft.com. This is the Windows Update catalog. If you're looking for a particular update, which I'm going to give you the number of in just a second.
Okay.
So there's, you can do the automatic update, but there's also a way to do a catalog update, a Windows catalog update. And that is for IT professionals who will just download it once and then apply it to a number of machines, or somebody who just wants to see what's going on. And so you're gonna go to Microsoft Update catalog, and
okay,
all of these versions of Windows, there's 13 of them, have an update there. Get ready. Are you ready to write this down? It's knowledge base KB 4012598.
98 KB 4012598.
Yeah. So you'll search for that at the Microsoft Update catalog, and then you will see every version: Windows 8, Windows XP Service Pack 3, Windows Vista, Windows Server 2008, 2003, when, you know, just all the different versions, including, you know, their point of sale systems. So if you have a version that didn't get pushed this update, you can also check in your hotfixes to see if you've got it. You want to make sure you've got KB 4012598.
And that's like at the same place that we look to see what updates we've received over time, basically.
Sort of, yeah. You can always look at this within Windows.
Okay.
Yeah, but if you download it, you can install it from the downloader. And sometimes that's a better way to do it. So you're looking www.catalog.update.microsoft.com.
Actually, let me hold on. I'll just do it right. It's like
Pretend I'm your service tech.
Okay, yeah, that'd be perfect. Okay, so
yeah.
www.
And you'll see all the versions, and they put the Vista update out on March 12th, 2017, oddly enough. But for some reason.
March 17th?
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry.
With the Irish?
yeah. March 12th, 5 days before St. Patrick's Day. So they did put this out, but, you know, it's not part of the automatic update. I'm not sure what the deal is. Maybe, you know, remember that even if you as an end user in your house can no longer get updates, there are people who have paid for extended service in businesses, and they continue to get updates. And it's a lot of money. But for the reason I spoke of earlier, you know, if you're a hospital or a mission-critical environment where you can't get rid of this because your x-ray machine's running Windows Vista, then you can pay extra to get these updates. And that apparently the people who paid got it in March, and the rest of us just, you know, had to figure this out. So, yeah, there's the download, and I'll put this in the show notes. So this is, I know as you're driving along, a hard thing to write down that long number. It's just all you have to ever remember is techguylabs.com, techguylabs.com. Home theater guru Scott Wilkinson coming up right after this. Our show today brought to you by a new way to travel. Speaking of travel, a new way to travel. Upside, I'm very excited. Jay Walker, the guy who created Priceline. You know, he sold Priceline some years ago after making William Shatner their spokesman. I asked him. He said, yeah, that was me. Decided that he was going to get back in the travel business, and he was looking for an area that's underserved. You know, that's what all these great entrepreneurs, this is how they do businesses. They say, where is somewhere that I could create an online business that is not, you know, the job isn't being well done? And it turns out, and if you're in a big business, and I remember this when I worked for Ziff Davis, they have a travel department. And so when it's time for you to do business travel, you call the travel department. They book it. They have prearranged, pre-negotiated prices. They do the whole thing. But if you're a small business like mine or a medium business, you don't get that benefit. You're doing your own booking, and you're just like any Joe Schmo coming in the door. That's why Jay created Upside, the best way to book your business travel. Upside bundles flights and hotels together, pre-negotiated prices that are going to give you a great deal. And as the traveler, you get a free gift card with every trip you book. So just visit Upside.com. Just take a couple of minutes to find out how much you could save. If you've got a business flight coming up soon, you just enter in where you're going. That's all, because it's going to book both the air and the hotel for you. And they don't overwhelm you with a lot of choices. They get the best prices, the best deals right up front. You start with six flights and hotels. You get all your frequent flyer miles, but you also get a gift card. So you get a great deal, and you get a gift card. And the gift card could be $100, $200, $300, even more on international travel. If you are, in my case, I'm booking for my company, but it's also out of my pocket. I just applied the gift cards right to the price and brought the price down even lower, which was awesome. 24/7 concierge level service. You can call or email or chat or reach them on social at any time, before, during, or even after every trip. You get even, you know, better deals with overseas trips. Your gift card arrives via email within 72 hours after booking your trip. And it's not just, you know, it's a gift card. You get to choose. Big names. Amazon, Nordstrom, Target, 50 different brands. You get to choose. And it's, you know, it's, I mean, this is great. So if you're booking, your company gets a great deal. You get a gift card. It's a win all around. Book your business travel at Upside.com. And if you do it right now, use the promo code TECHGUY to get a guaranteed minimum $100 gift card on your first purchase right away. Boom, like that. Upside.com, promo code TECHGUY. Save big on travel and get a big gift card every single trip. Minimum purchase required. See site for complete details. Upside.com. I missed you, Scott Wilkinson. He was here. Oh. He was ready. He was sitting there and nobody turned on the camera. Nobody turned on the mic. Scott Wilkins is our home theater guru. He's the editor-in-chief at the AVS Forum, avsforum.com, and a host of our Home Theater Geeks podcast at twit.tv/HTG.
Welcome back, Leo. So nice to see you.
Yeah. Again. I'm sorry I missed the show last week. Anything exciting happening in the world of home theater? as if I needed to ask.
Well, you know, there's always something interesting happening in the world of home theater. But I thought today I might just answer a couple questions.
Sure. Go right ahead.
You know?
Yeah.
They've been sitting here. I've had them sort of queued up, ready to go. And usually we have something else to talk about. But things are a little quiet this week. I didn't get to a bunch of stuff. So
All the new spring TVs are already out and on the market. So there's
more or less. Yeah.
Nothing
exactly.
Much to talk about in that regard.
Exactly. But I did hear from Angus McKinnon, who is in Vancouver, British Columbia, where I was last summer. It was a great, beautiful city.
Oh, so beautiful there, isn't
man.
It? Yeah, one of
yeah,
my favorite
lovely.
Cities. Yeah.
Anyway, he has a pair of older speakers, Prolinear PTX 55 BBL. These are older speakers, but he wants to hook them up to his TV. And what's the cheapest way to do that? He has a Sony Bravia, an older TV, a 32-inch TV. So these speakers are a little bit overkill for a 32-inch TV. But okay, he's already got them. You know, that's fine.
Who cares if the picture's small, if the sound is big?
Well, you know, there are those who argue that the sound is at least as important as the picture.
I'd agree with that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So he's on a disability, too. So a disability pension. So he, you know, doesn't have a lot of money. And the answer really is to get the least expensive AV receiver or little power amp that you can afford that will drive speakers, because these are passive speakers. They have what's called an 8-ohm nominal impedance, so they're easy to drive. Any receiver will drive them, And I looked around and I found a couple of things. It does, this TV does have an optical output, which most TVs do, an optical digital audio output, which is otherwise sometimes called Toslink. And it's an actual optical cable, comes out of the back of the TV. Really, the most common application is if you put a sound bar there and connect it to a sound bar, and that really works very well. But if you have a pair of passive speakers, you need an amplifier for them. So the answer is to get an amplifier for them. Now, I looked website called LifeWire has a, you know, sort of the best budget receivers. And the best entry-level receiver that they identify, which I would agree with, is the Pioneer VSX 531. Now,
Do you need what's called an AV amplifier for this?
You don't.
Okay.
All you need is an audio amplifier.
Okay.
But the problem is that there aren't very many stereo amplifiers today. You know, two-channel receivers.
They're all surround sound. But can't you use a surround amplifier with two channels?
You absolutely could. Absolutely. Okay. In fact, that's what I recommend.
Yeah.
Well, I do recommend it, and the reason is that the stereo receivers that I have found in doing my research for this question don't have an optical audio input. They only have analog inputs. So the stereo receivers aren't going to do it because they don't have the right kind of input. So getting a low-cost surround receiver is probably the best way to go. The Pioneer VSX 531 is just under $200. Okay, so that's not bad. I looked on Amazon for just like desktop. You know how a lot of computers, people have speakers on their desktop. And in the most cases, those speakers are powered. They have their own little power amp in them. But there are little external audio amplifiers available. And there are some on Amazon. Just look for desktop stereo amplifier. I found, I don't know these names, these brands. Grace Digital has one for $100. Sabage has one for $80. So I'm looking for low-cost options here because...
Now, he could also use his headphone jack, couldn't he? Most TVs
have
an analog.
Most TVs do not. No, they don't. Most of them don't anymore. I didn't look
He's
at
He's got an old Bravia. I'm guaranteed it has one. I'd be shocked if it didn't. And then he could just use any pair of powered speakers if he didn't. He wouldn't need an amp for that, right?
That's correct. But he wants to use his speakers, remember?
Oh, so he does need an amp, yeah.
He needs an amplifier.
Now don't laugh at me, but I used to go to Radio Shack and buy like a cheap $40 stereo amp.
As long as it has an optical digital input.
Optical's the trick.
That's what you need. If it has that, you're golden.
Now, if he didn't mention his headphone jack, but...
I'm looking at the back panel of that TV right now.
Oh, okay.
It has no headphone jack.
That's so weird.
Most TVs don't, and I don't understand why. It makes no sense to me at all.
Well, my mom, for instance, I bought her a pair of Sennheiser TV headphones, wireless headphones,
mm-hmm.
that plug into the analog jack. What about lip sync issues? Is digital going to be better than analog, or does it matter?
It doesn't really matter. I don't think there are really going to be lip sync issues. I haven't run into any
doing
it this way.
Digital would always be better.
Yep.
Depending on what you buy as an amp, because then the amp is doing the digital to
analog conversion.
Yeah.
Correct. But I will say this. Most TVs, including this one, this older Sony Bravia, it has no analog output. Analog audio output. None.
Right. That's why it has no headphone jack. Doesn't have a DAC, a digital... To analog converter.
Digital to analog converter. That's correct. So that's why the optical is the only way out. Oh, no.
Yeah.
And so that's why you need an external amplifier that has an optical input.
Very good.
So there you go.
You're the solver. The reason I'm kind of aware of this is I bought my mom a TCL, cheap Chinese TV, but she's 84.
Right. TCL's not a bad brand.
It's 1080p. It was last year's model, but it's it'll be fine. It's a nice big TV.
Yep.
And, for one thing, she said it didn't come with a power cord or a remote.
What?
And I said, it did, Mom. Go through the packages. She said, no, I saved the packaging. So I wrote to Amazon. They said, we'll be glad to replace it, but you have to pack up the old TV, ship it back, and we'll send you the new one. And I didn't want to do that, so I looked online, and it's $10 for the remote and $5 for the power cord. So I sent her a new one. But then she says it doesn't have any speakers. Now, I looked, and it does have speakers.
I'm sure it does. But she has to go into the sound menu and, and enable the speakers if they aren't enabled already. Yeah. They should be by default. If they're not, that's a serious, you know, little problem. But
yeah, I could fix that. But I could, you know, with some dint of effort, I can walk her through that. But I did send her. You know what I ended up doing is I sent her a pair of Audio Engine powered stereo speakers.
Great.
They're very nice. They're small, but the sound is great. And it does have a headphone jack in this case.
Okay, that TV
I checked. Mm-hmm. And the reason I like that is because then the remote control of the TV will turn it up and down, mm-hmm. which makes much more sense. Than having to say, okay, Mom, now you have to get the other, and you know,
the remote
for the speakers and turn, you know, that's no.
That's
fewer
not gonna
remotes
happen.
Is better. Yeah.
Yeah.
We should do a whole segment on setting up home theater for your elders or
people
who are just not very techy.
Yeah.
You know, so I think this is going to work out very nicely for her, but it's taken some effort to figure it out.
I can't believe that a brand new TV shipped without a power cord or a remote.
I'm pretty sure it had it in there somewhere in there.
Oh, it's got to be in there.
I said, look,
somewhere.
There's a hidden panel in the styrofoam. Look in there.
It could be.
Packed normally? Did it feel like it was well packed? She said, oh, yeah. So, well, I'm sure. Anyway, $15. It's a lot easier than arguing.
Yeah,
Scott
yeah, yeah.
Wilkinson, Home Theater Geeks, twit.tv/HTG. Thank you, sir. We'll see
My
you
pleasure.
Next week. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. what am I going to do? I can't go out there.
She's on the East Coast,
yeah,
right?
She's in Rhode Island, so... It's all right. I was really pleased to see that you could still get the remote. I got her the TV because it has Roku built in. It's got all the – so, again, she doesn't need a lot of external boxes. She's got everything she needs built into it.
Oh, right. She's got streaming. And
yeah, exactly.
Does she have cable or satellite? That's an external box.
She does, unfortunately. So,
so that's one more complication.
Yeah, I'm going to have to
– Hey, but let's do that. Maybe let's do that for the pre-record next week.
That'd be kind of fun. I like that idea. So let's see. Scott, you go in there. Nope, that's wrong. Scott, you go in there. Okay, and the clock goes in there. And then I move
very
the clock
good.
Over.
Thank
I have to push
much.
All the buttons. And now it's all yours, my friend.
Thank you very much. Oh, Buckmaster had a good point, and I forgot to mention that. I did look into that, which is Toslink to RCA adapter. So you could get a Toslink, this little box from Monoprice. Thank you, Buckmaster. And that converts the digital optical to analog. That's a very good point. I'm really sorry I forgot that. That would be a very good thing. Watts Stereo, let's see, Amazon Simile has Watts. Let's take a look at that real quick. Yeah, this is an analog digital to analog converter amplifier. Okay, 80 watts mini stereo amplifier. Yeah, that would do it. $80, exactly. Very good. From a company called Amphony. Not bad. That I should have mentioned, and I'm sorry I didn't. Web 1628. What's a better picture, 30 FPS or 60 FPS? 60, clearly better because there will be less motion blur and it'll look sharper, generally speaking. So that's easily the best answer. Now, I will say this, that there are those, at least for movies. Okay, let's talk about for TVs, 60 is no question better. For movies, there are many people who feel that shooting a movie or playing a movie at 30 or 60 even makes it look not like a movie but like video. And there is some truth to that. The question is, do you like it or not? Do you like it better than 24 frames per second, which is what movies are shot at? And if you do, then great. If you don't, then you don't want what's called high frame rate. The best example of that is Billy Lynn's Long Halftime Walk. Ang Lee's movie from late last year, which he shot at 120 frames per second. And the Ultra HD Blu-ray is at 60 frames per second. and it doesn't look like a standard movie. The question is, do you like it or not? Many people don't. I do. That's different than, but related to, if you have a TV with what's called frame interpolation, and you take a 24 frames per second movie coming in, you have the TV synthesize frames in between the actual frames coming in, and that gives you effectively a high frame rate, but it introduces this thing called the soap opera effect that makes the movie look like it was shot on video, like on a soap opera. And a lot of people don't like that. I think that is what I call cultural inertia. We've had 24 frames per second movies for 100 years, and people are used to it. And getting used to movies at a higher frame rate will take some time to overcome that inertia.
Thank you, sir.
My pleasure.
Stay around for the top.
You betcha.
All right. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888 Ask Leo, the phone number. Paul in Guadalajara. Hello, Paul.
Hey, Leo. Glad you're back.
It's good to be back. Thank you.
Here's my problem. Right now I have AT&T service for my phone, and I just got a Galaxy 8. Right before that, I had an HTC 10, which I loved. And the problem was, unless it's an AT&T branded phone, I couldn't make Wi-Fi calls. So got rid of the HTC and got the Samsung. The problem now is when I'm driving around the countryside in Mexico, I like to use Pandora, iHeartRadio, that type of thing. And suddenly this thing came up that seems really interesting. And it's Skyroam Hotspot.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have a SIM, and it seems like it's pretty cool for being on the road in a foreign country. Any ideas or opinions, or do you know these things?
Yeah. If you know, the real issue is, roaming deals have they made so that it will work where you want it to work? And if Skyroam says they work in Mexico, then, you know, you're great. I've used a number of solutions like this. This is the one kind of aimed at travelers. I've used Karma Go and talked about it in the past. It gloms onto Sprint in the U.S. and gives you a pay-as-you-go internet. This is the same idea, except, you know, and we've recommended these kinds of things in the past. When you go to a country, get a, you know, we used to call them MiFis. They're credit card-sized devices. This is a little more sophisticated. It has a screen and arrows and stuff, but it's the same idea. You get the internet from the local cell company, LTE or 4G or 3G, depending on where you are, and it turns it into a Wi-Fi hotspot for up to five different devices. The nice thing about this is you pay for what you use, so you don't have to buy a big bundle ahead of time, and you don't have to worry about the carrier. But you've got to check to make sure, and more importantly, maybe not more importantly, you want to make sure the country you're in is supported, but also that high speed is supported in that country.
Good point. And I was just going to ask you about the Galaxy 8, since I just got it the other day. You have a review on it, I thought, a couple months ago.
I like it a lot,
yeah. I like it. And, but I think along the way, you also said that my wife is waiting for the new iPhone next fall, and I'm trying to talk her out of it. So
why?
Well, that's a very good question. And the reason is, 2 years ago, I was with my granddaughter, who was 21 at the time, and we both had, I think, sixes. And it was really hard, difficult to read the screen. And I said to her, this is really a problem. And she said, what are you talking about? It's fine. Then the light came on that Apple is marketing to that demographic with 18 to 39 or whatever
right.
it is.
Right.
And as old farts that have been Apple people since the early 80s, who cares? You know, you're
one of the nice things about the S8 Plus and the S8 is they have a slider in the Android settings that let you make the print pretty big.
That's exactly what I do. And yeah. I'm
Apple Apple does it too. They hide it in the accessibility settings. You can make the print bigger on an iPhone as well. So, yeah. So it's really, I mean, I go both ways. I use iPhones and Android devices all the time, partly because that's my job. There's pros and cons for both. Apple provides a very closed experience. You know, you can only get apps from Apple's App Store. That they decide how things work, what can run in the background, what can't, that kind of thing. And that can be frustrating. It also means that some applications you can get in Android, like Wi-Fi testers, you can't get on an iPhone because Apple won't give you access. Maybe more useful applications that use near-field communications or NFC. iPhones now have NFC chips, but only Apple can use it, and they can only use it for Apple Pay. So there are a lot of features Apple decides not to use for security purposes or for, you know, business purposes. On the other hand, Apple makes a very straightforward thing. And I worry about your wife. If she's very comfortable with the iPhone, she may, I just want to warn you, she may blame you. She may say, Paul, everything was working great and you made me use this Android and I don't know what the heck's going on. Oh, I hear her in the background. I may have...
She's saying the exact same thing you just said. Every time I touch your phone, it's just a nightmare for me.
So if legibility is the one issue, yes, go into the accessibility settings on any iPhone, and you can make the text bigger.
Perfect. All right, and I'll keep her happy, I guess, and we'll wait for the next.
Yeah, I mean, people ask me all the time, should I get an Android phone or an iPhone? And there isn't one good reason to get one or the other. It's really personal choice. I happen to be an Android fan. I actually continue to use the Google Android phone, the Pixel, because I like a pure Android experience. Although I think Samsung has added some very nice features. My favorite feature is the adaptive sound that adapts to my hearing. Sound, you know, earphones sound much better on a Samsung phone than they do on any other phone. Actually, HTC did the same thing.
I'll have to go find that bit because I haven't found it yet.
It's buried. All the good stuff is buried.
Good.
When I get a new phone, I spend at least a day just drilling down through the menus trying to find stuff.
Well, the other thing about the Apple experience is that all the equipment we have is Apple, except this one.
Yeah, see, and it all works together.
Exactly. And so that's why she's arguing for, no, we have to, we have to. So I think that, and she hates to touch the Android.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't, you know, why fight that one? That's a battle you can avoid. You know, people get Apple hooks people into their ecosystem with messages, which is one of the programs you use the most, text messaging. And their text messaging has all these features that only work on Apple devices. And the Android people are in this kind of poor, limited version of it. I don't think they're ever going to make a version of messages for Android. So I think this is one of the ways Apple kind of locks you in.
So we'll just be a mixed couple then.
Yes, I'm a mixed couple. My wife will never, ever give it. It's so funny because when I met her, she was using BlackBerry. And I finally convinced her to get an iPhone. And now I've been trying to get her back on Android. She'll periodically use it. She likes it. But she really is an iPhone user and is happy. And that's why, it's fine. It doesn't matter. It's not a team sport. It's personal electronics. It's whatever you like best.
All right. So what I'm hearing is leave well enough alone and possibly check into Skyroam. It may solve my problems.
Yeah, Skyroam, I've heard good things about. You know, so the plan is kind of $8 a day, or you can, you can rent one for $10 a day. There's a variety of different ways to do it. I think if you travel a lot, and obviously you do if you're in Guadalajara right now, do you live down there part-time?
I'm old, so we're trying to find a place to live in the general vicinity.
Oh, man, I'm jealous. I would love to live. Guadalajara is beautiful.
Well, you're not quite as old as I am yet. You get older.
I'll get there. It's either Guadalajara or Tacoma, Washington. It's one or the other. Kind of extreme polar opposites.
And for us, it was the same thing. It was an area outside of Seattle in this area.
Yeah.
And then winter came, and we thought, wait a minute.
Whoa. So, I don't know if you'd want to use it day in, day out if you live down there. But for traveling, this looks like...
You said
like
one thing. Please. You're only charged for the day you use it?
Yes.
So it's on a 24-hour clock?
It's a day pass, is my understanding, is how they work.
Yeah. Okay.
You buy it for $100, and then you have $8 a day. But that's perfect for the casual traveler, right?
Yeah.
The other thing is you're going to want to get an external battery on these devices because my experience is they don't get you through the whole day. I haven't tried this one. You know, I've used many of the other MiFi solutions. But I always had an external battery. That's not such a big thing. You just get an external battery, plug it in.
I just bought a couple of them. One's called an OmniCharge, which I'm loving.
Yeah.
The other one is a Maggie M-A-G-G-I.
Yeah. Nowadays, everybody has to carry these around. Nothing gets through the day without a little extra juice.
Life in the 21st century.
Hey, it's nice to talk to you. Let me know where you end up landing, Paul.
I shall. Thanks
I might
so much.
Follow you. Take care.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you.
We'll put all of these in the show notes. Skyroam is at skyroam.com. There's a number of companies doing this. All I can think is they must have some pretty good pre-negotiated prices with the international carriers to be able to offer it at $8 a day. If you just use your Verizon phone, and used it heavily, you might be paying more. But the real question is, are you going to get LTE speeds? Are you going to get, depending on where you are, that may vary. You know, they don't have LTE everywhere, for one thing. So I would check the website and get a good idea of what you're going to get, where you're going, so to speak. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. All our show notes at techguylabs.com, our free and open website. More of your calls coming up right after this. This portion of the Tech Guy Show brought to you by Rocket Mortgage, a great solution if you're looking for a home loan or to refinance your home, and you're a geek and you want to do it all online, you want to work with one of the best lenders in the country, Quicken Loans. They are great. They offer a huge variety of loans and an easy way to apply for a loan, a completely online way to apply for a loan. That's why they call it Rocket Mortgage, because it lifts the burden of getting a home loan. No more visiting the bank. No more, going through boxes of paperwork to find just the right, check stubs or bank statements. You do it all online, submit it all on your phone, on your tablet, on your computer with a touch of a finger, including the pay stubs, including the bank statements. And the best part about this, the last time we got a home loan, Lisa and I, about 3 years ago, it took us more than a month. And they kept wanting more and more paperwork, not Quicken Loans, not Rocket Mortgage. This whole thing doesn't take a month, doesn't take weeks, doesn't take days, takes minutes. You can literally do it in an open house, start the process, go through the whole thing, and a few minutes later, show the realtor, we're approved. I want you to check it out. Rocket Mortgage, it's at quickenloans.com, quickenloans.com/techguy. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, and MLSconsumeraccess.org, number 30. We thank Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans for their support of the Tech Guy. Don't forget, quickenloans.com/techguy. Scott Wilkinson.
Leo Laporte.
There you are. And let me move the peanuts out of the way
Give me my clock.
Clock in the way. There you go.
Thank you so very much.
I'll put a little fidget spinner here, too, if this runs out.
What is the fidget spinner?
Oh, you don't know about these? Oh, they're
no.
They're everywhere. All the kids.
All the kids
are using them. The idea was to kind of calm ADD fidgeting, but.
Really?
But now they're banning them from schools because they're becoming kind of distracting.
Why do they? Are they like low friction? They last a long time?
Yeah, a really good one might go 5 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Huh. I'll have to look into that. That looks kind of cool. We've been talking about Steely Dan in the chat room.
Love Steely Dan.
I do, too. I saw them at the Hollywood Bowl last year.
Oh, how
and
fun.
I was saying in the chat room, they played great, as always.
Is it still Fagan and what's his name?
Walter Becker.
They're still there, huh?
Oh, yeah. But the sound system at the Hollywood Bowl was terrible.
Oh, that's not okay.
Oh, man. It was really bad.
That's not okay. This is a band that should sound good.
I know.
This is kind of an audiophiles band.
Exactly. I use their recordings all the time when listening, evaluating speakers and amps and such. I saw them at the Greek many years ago. The Greek is a much better venue, much smaller. It's only like 3,000 or 4,000 seats as opposed to 18,000. But as I remember, and it was a very long time ago, but the sound system is much better there. You know, when I was in high school, I had a sort of a volunteer job as an usher at the Greek. And I saw a lot of great bands. I saw Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Didn't see Steely Dan during that time, but shortly thereafter, I went and saw him there. It was great. But anyway, let's get back to some questions here. Let's see. Archandra is asking, any TV sold today with cable card slots? Not that I know of. I know of none. I don't even know of very many. I mean, I guess cable boxes that you get from the cable company might have a cable card slot. I think TiVo, certain TiVo boxes might have it. That's a technology that's kind of on the wane. It's basically gone as far as I know. But there might be some. But it was it's a weird technology. It's basically the cable tuner in a card, you know, like a credit card size thing. You plug it into a slot and the cable company interacts with that, basically. But it was so ridiculous when they brought these out, the cable companies insisted that they had to install it. They wouldn't just send it to you and let you stick it in the slot. They had to come out. They had to roll a truck, as they say. And, you know, that costs a lot of money. Just to take a little credit card thing and stick it in a slot, give me a break. Anyway, that's what cable card is. And I can't imagine there being, I don't know of any TVs that have it. It would be handy for Leo's mom if she had a cable. I don't know whether she has cable or satellite. But if her cable company even offers it, I don't know that they do. And certainly it won't be in the TV. So it's not really an answer. Let's see. Oh, Mike Heiss is in the chat room. Hey, Mike. Look at that. Mike just answered the question. He got a new TiVo Bolt, and it's got a cable card slot. See, I told you. TiVo still has cable card slots. So there you go. Beatmaster, is there any hope for owners of pre-HDMI 1.4 AVRs that some brands will release preamps with modern codecs and IOs? I don't think so, if I understand your question correctly. Is there any hope for owner pre-HDMI 1.4 AVRs? No, those are pretty old. I'd upgrade your AVR before I fiddled around with a preamp and that kind of stuff. BPALA, I'm in the market for a receiver but can't decide what to go with. There's so many options. Well, that's for sure. Budget's in the $1,000 to $2,000 range. $1,000 or $2,000, that's going to get you a nice receiver. No question about it. My favorites are Denon and Marantz, followed by Yamaha, Pioneer, Onkyo. Onkyo had a reputation that their HDMI board inside the AV receiver would flake out sooner than later. But that was some years ago. I think they've solved that problem. So I don't think there's too much to worry about there anymore. And they do make a good product otherwise. I mean, it's well-respected, good features, good value. But in the $1,000 to $2,000 range, man, I'd go for a Denon myself. I think that's probably going to be your best bet. Let's see. Mike Heiss here is getting back to cable card. Is due to some FCC regulation. TiVo needs them to do encrypted content. Okay, well, there you go. That may be. Hey, Sybil, live long and prosper, my friend. Now, Mike B says most cable companies let you self install. I have one for my TiVo and it's great. They permit up to 6 tuners. See, I haven't even looked at cable cards in so long. I'm probably behind the times. Lumpy says he has 3 Samsung smart media players with Comcast cable cards. That's interesting. BPLA, is there something I should specifically look at? I'm not sure I know what you mean. Give me a little more detail there, and I should be able to help you. Web6173, do you see any new AVRs with fans in them, and what is your thought on that? I think there probably are some, but only the really, really big ones. Fans, obviously, are there for cooling. And most AVRs these days don't need it, because they have what's called convection cooling. So they're designed so that the heat kind of rises up and out of the box, which is why when you put an AVR in a system, you want to give it plenty of room, space above it. You don't want to put it in a tightly, perfectly sized slot for it and have some shelf or something right on top of it, because then it'll get too hot. So you do want to make sure that's well ventilated. But I don't know about I don't remember seeing any AVRs with fans. Now, big power amps or really big AVRs, maybe there might be a fan in there. Usually, they're pretty good. They're pretty quiet, although not as quiet as not having one. So that's right. Mike Heiss, good point. If the AVR heats up enough to have the fan turn on, the system is playing really loud and you won't hear the fan. I suppose that's true. And KC8RLU, Steve Jobs famously hated cooling fans, and for good reason. If you can design a product to not need one, then it's better not to have one. I think that's absolutely correct. Rocket888 said, just upgraded my AV receiver, a 7.1 Yamaha 5790 refurb from Fry's, $200. Hey, that sounds good. Yamaha, great brand as well. My very first sort of big boy receiver was a Yamaha. CO Bra, I got a Denon 930H because I recommended it. Good. And it's awesome, he says. Yay.
Thank you, Scott. Remember, pre-record next Saturday.
You got it.
All righty.
See ya.
Bye-bye. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy, back live to talk about tech. Computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography, smartphones, smart watches, augmented reality, virtual reality, real reality. 8888-ASK-LEO, that's the phone number. 888-827-5536, that's toll free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada. Yeah, you can also find us at the website, techguylabs.com, and there's a link there to the chat room if you'd like to join those wild and crazy kids chatting along behind the scenes. They're a lot of fun. They're kind of like, you know, they're smart kids in the back of the class. They got their own agenda. Occasionally they'll throw a spit wad at me, but that's okay because they're also very useful. Google had its developers conference. I did go to that this week. On Wednesday, went to see Sundar Pichai, the CEO of Google. Now, Google and company speak. Google is no longer everything. Google is now a part of Alphabet. They kind of split the company up into parts. The overarching company is Alphabet. This wasn't an Alphabet developer show. This is a Google developer show. So they talked about Google's machine learning and artificial intelligence. Actually, Sundar Pichai, the CEO of Google, said something kind of interesting. He said, you know, until recently, we were in a mobile-first world. That was a big transition right there. Remember that? When it went from desktop computing and then laptop computing, and then the iPhone came out about 10 years ago, and then all of a sudden, it's about mobile computing. And quickly, within 5 years, I would say, the majority of our daily computing went from our computers, you know, our laptops and desktops, to our devices in our pocket. That changed a lot of things, changed Google's life, because Google makes its money through ads on search and ads on websites, none of which you were seeing on your mobile device. So they quickly had to, you know, pivot, as did Facebook. Facebook was, in fact, there was some question whether Facebook could figure out mobile and make it work for them. They did. 83% of Facebook traffic now is on mobile, not on web browsers, on computers. So we became a mobile-first society, and lo and behold, we've changed again. This is hard to keep up, isn't it? it's funny because in the real world, things move at a particular cadence, a particular pace. Things evolve and change. The corner store down the street, you know, shuts and becomes a, you know, McDonald's or whatever. And there's gradual change over time. You hardly notice it, frankly. The new car designs look a little bit more swoopy-doopy. And Joe next door has got an electric car. Well, that's interesting. But you hardly notice these gradual, there's a gradual cadence of change. But what you may not notice, and only those of us who kind of live in this tech world are you know, kind of constantly aware of, is how fast the tech world changes. Boom, boom, boom. It's a very much more rapid cadence. companies come and go. Ideas come and go. Platforms come and go. Things that seem to be should be more permanent. You know, it's as if every few years they decided, nah, traffic lights don't need to be red, yellow, and green. Let's try blue, purple, and orange. Yeah, just we'll see what happens. That's kind of how it is in the tech world. But I was just getting used to mobile first. Nope. Google says now it's artificial intelligence. It's a machine language first world. And that's going to be the next domain where things change. Actually, we're really on the cusp. We've been, and I know this is the case, that we're really on the cusp of some big changes because for the last few years, it's been we've been in a plateau. You know, your smartphone is just a glass slab. There's not that much to distinguish it from another phone or last year's phone. Your computer, personal computer, your laptop, those aren't changing very fast. Tablets, iPad looks the same as it did 5-10 years ago. It was not a big change. Well, it came out in 2010, so 7 years ago. But then there's little things that are starting to change a little bit more rapidly. For instance, you notice how voice is creeping into your life, voice control. Not just the Amazon Echo, but Google has its device. Apple's got Siri. Microsoft has Cortana. It's still kind of dopey. And most of us, you know, we try it. I swear at Siri more than I use Siri. You know, it's almost a joke now. I'll say, well, let's ask Siri, see what she says. Who's that in that movie? Do you remember what movie was she in before? Let's ask Siri, see what she says. Because she always, you know, I mean, let's be honest. The weather is 33 degrees and sunny. What? She doesn't seem to really know. She's a little dotty. But Amazon's pretty good, right? The Echo's getting better. And if you've ever tried the Google Home or the Google Assistant, which is now on the iPhone as well as Android, yeah, it might be kind of thinking, Google is making some progress here. They announced they're going to have some features they call Google Lens features that are artificial intelligence based. When you take a picture, there'll be a button on the camera on your smartphone, your Android device, that says turn on lens. And then you could take a picture of something and it will tell you what it is, a flower. I like that, right? Does that ever happen to you? Maybe it's just me. I'll be wandering along. Oh, I like that. What is that? Well, now you can point your camera at it, take a picture, and Google's assistant will say, why, that's an iris. And it might even say, you can buy them here and give you more information about them, a link to a Wikipedia page. Take a picture, you say you like somebody's watch, take a picture of it. It'll know what make, model, and offer you where, you know, to sell it, offer to sell it to you. Now, of course, you can see why Google would want to do this. That's big money. Lens will be able to read barcodes on and receipts and all sorts of stuff. And you can do it with a picture you're about to take or with a picture you've already taken. They've added Lens to Google Photos. Another reason I've recommended Google Photos in the past. And by the way, and we can have a conversation about this. I understand when I start talking about this, a number of you will say, I am not giving Google that much information. That's creepy. I understand that. And, you know, you of course, don't have to do this. I kind of like the features. I like it that because I upload all the photos I've ever taken and ever will take to Google Photos, that I can then search for pictures of my kids. And they're now adding a share feature that I can share the picture of the kids with their mom. And then if she takes pictures, she can share them with me. And it even can be, if I take any new pictures, now you have to opt into this, but if I take any new pictures, it will share it because it recognizes my kids. It recognizes people I know, recognizes faces, and it categorizes everything in faces. You know, Facebook does this too, but Google's given us some real, see, in my opinion, in return for the data that we're giving Google, it's giving us some real value. Now, that's, for me, that's worthwhile. For many of you, I know it's not. And Google is becoming a little bit more likely to come up against that creepy line, is what we call it, where it's just. But for me, and maybe not for you, we can have this conversation. I want it to be creepy. I want Google to know when my next flight is and to tell me, hey, you better hit the road because you got to go early to the airport. Traffic's bad. I want it to do that. That's useful. In order to do that, of course, it has to go through my mail, find all the travel arrangements I've made, the tickets, has to know I'm going to the airport today. It has to invade my privacy. But I think of that as a machine. I don't think of it as a human reading it. But what do you think? Is that too much to ask? Because you can always opt out. I would fear a regulation against it. And I think in some areas like the European Union, they are considering those things. Because I want that option. I want to be able to choose that. I find that useful. And I don't want to be told I can't use it. 8888 Ask Leo. Let's talk about that. What is Google, are they going too far? Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I didn't do my review of spinners. Almost all of them are identical. It turns out I thought there would be a lot of difference, and there isn't. The best one, though, so far is that one Steve Gibson gave me, the iSpin. I really like that iSpin. But most of these plastic ones are basically the same. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888 Ask Leo. James on the line from San Francisco. Hi, James.
Leo, we missed you.
Oh, I felt so bad. I felt like this was the big weekend for me to be on the air talking about WannaCry, and here I am. I got the flu. Man.
You make tech less daunting.
I hope so. Thank you.
Also, I really appreciate how you treat people. You're very patient, and you even work overtime to help them with their problems.
Yeah, sometimes I'll keep them on after the off the air during the break.
Okay. I missed the A-plus certification by one question.
Oh, 15 years ago.
I kind of changed my path. I went down a different road. But what I'm wondering is it really worth going back, spending the money? I mean, what does it mean at this point?
You know, the certs in general, A-plus is a kind of a general kind of tech guy cert, you know.
Basic.
Yeah, it's pretty basic. And almost anybody who listens to this show on a regular basis could probably do okay on it. Whether they'd pass it, I don't know. But because they sneak in questions that are a little bit obscure.
One question. I missed the damn coding stuff threw me off.
Right. So you got an A-minus on your A-plus, somebody said in the chat room. So the idea of these certs is to give a prospective employer or perhaps a customer some kind of measure that says, well, this guy knows, you know, kind of knows his stuff. Actually, I don't think it really shows you know your stuff, but it shows you know that stuff. And unless your goal is to get a job in IT... I don't think
it's really designed
for people who are coming out of school. They want to get a job. They have very little or no experience, but they can at least, you know, if they've got the cert, then the company hiring them knows that they took the time. You know, a lot of it is they took the time, the effort, spent the money to pass the test. They studied. So they have a certain skill set, but they also have a certain determination, a certain, you know.
Just like going to college and getting a degree.
Exactly. It's less valuable than that because it's harder. It's easier to get than that. But it's that idea, exactly. So
okay. Thank you, Leo.
Yeah. I wouldn't worry about it, you know, unless you'd like to have that on your resume or put a...
No. I don't know. I think I get hell of an education just listening to you.
It's frustrating, though. I know, to get one question away. It's like, oh... But that A-plus cert is not of, you know, it's of limited use. You know, again, it's only if you're looking for work. Or maybe, you know, if you were a shade tree tech guy, you know, you had a little storefront, hanging that on the wall might reassure customers that you've at least, you know, jumped through a hoop. It's not like...
You know what? I might want to do that, though.
Well, then it might be of some value. Some customers would recognize it and say, okay, that's a good sign.
The test is like $200.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, as I said, some of this indicator is that the person cares enough to spend the money and take the time to study more than whether they would know. Because truthfully, if you had an A-plus cert, I wouldn't necessarily invite you in to fix my computer. That doesn't guarantee that skill.
I told my teacher that I knew nothing. And that having that A-plus really didn't mean anything because I knew I didn't know anything. And he said, it's just the basic. It's the first step.
And in my opinion, they throw in things that you'll never again encounter. As with all tests, they're trying to approximate real world knowledge. But as with all tests, a test is, just one small part of what, for a tech guy, I would look for more a logical mind, an ability to solve problems.
And a willingness to learn.
Frankly, a passion and an interest in the subject, because that's going to keep them reading the latest stuff and keeping up on their, if you passed the A+ 10 years ago, you might as well have no A+. Everything's changed.
Leo, can I just say, Heather and Kim do a great job.
Aren't they great, our call
you.
Screeners? I know, they're the
they're
best.
They're amazing.
I know. I agree with you. Hey, it's great to talk to you. Thanks for the call. If you're a young person coming out of school or you want to change careers and you just need some way to get in that door, I'm telling my son right now, I just graduated from college, the next step is the hardest, that first job. At least the first, not the first job as a fry cook or washing cars, but the job in your chosen field. Because even though you've studied for 4 years and you have a degree, your prospective employer looks at you and says, you have no experience. And you can't, how do you get experience if you don't have experience? You got to find somebody who's going to take a chance on you. And that really takes some persistence. Sometimes it takes a cert. College degree, same thing. It shows that you have the determination and, the moxie. That's a term we don't use here anymore. To get the cert. Jose, Valley Center, Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, this is Josie, not Jose.
Oh, I'm sorry, Josie. I see the eye now. I apologize.
That's okay.
Hi, Josie.
All right. Well, I'm really glad you're back and feeling better today.
Thank you.
So, I'm hoping that you can give me a little bit of advice. My son, who lives out of state, and we often transfer money, but it's like I have to go to the bank,
so much easier for you, but you're gonna have to hang on because we got to take a little break.
Okay.
But I have when my daughter was in Mexico, I figured out all the different ways to do this.
Oh, good.
And I've solved the problem, so I'll help you solve the problem in just a second. But first, a break, word from our sponsor, then a lot more. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Our show today brought to you by, I can tell you, when I fly, there's one thing I always bring with me. That's my phone or tablet with Texture on it. Texture is like Netflix for magazines. 200, more than 200 of the best magazines in the country on your tablet. You can read them offline. How often is it that there is an article you see on the newsstand in Wired magazine or National Geographic or Rolling Stone or PC magazine? There's an article in there. That's worth it. But do you want to subscribe to that magazine and have all those dead trees lying around your house? That's expensive, wasteful, just for that one article a month, or maybe buy the newsstand edition. That's even more expensive, right? So Texture is brilliant. Whether it's Fast Company or Variety or Billboard or Vogue, you don't have to choose the magazine. You've got access to all 200 of them. It's like having a newsstand in your pocket. They make it really easy to find and enjoy articles you want to read. They've got daily recommendations. You'll discover new magazines. I did quite a few, actually. And boy, I like to cook. Recipes galore and a bunch of really great cooking magazines. They have exclusive interactive features. And because it's a tablet, you can get video. And, the photography magazines like National Geographic, the images, I think, look so much better on an iPad or a phone even than they do in the printed edition, because they have to screen them in the printed edition and you see the dots. They look great on your screen. So I think this is the best way to read photo magazines. With Texture, you have access not just to your favorite magazine, but the latest and greatest in investigation journalism, U.S. politics, domestic and international news. It's environmentally friendly. And, I didn't even mention $10 a month, $9.99 a month for over 200 magazines. And I mean, you get every page of the current edition, the current newsstand edition. You don't miss a thing. They're easy to navigate, but you also get back issues. You can favorite a magazine and will auto-download it so you always have it ready to go. I just love it. And they don't mention this, but you can put it on five or six devices, right? So Lisa has our subscription, the family subscription. I get it on mine. She gets it on hers. And Michael gets his magazines. He does not read Boy's Life, but he could. Apple's one of Apple's top 2016 iPad apps, and I'm not surprised. You've got a free 14-day trial awaiting you if you want to try it. I highly recommend it, especially before any trips. Texture.com/twit. I love it. We've got, I think, something like two 10-hour plane rides ahead. And I'll be loaded up, plenty to read. Texture.com/twit to try it free for 2 weeks. We thank Texture so much for their support of the Tech Guy podcast. I see the Johnny showing up here. Hey, Johnny.
Hey, Leo. How are you?
I am well. Where are you? Are you in Connecticut?
Nope. I was supposed to be at the Marriott Beach Wailea in Maui.
Oh, what happened?
And I had to cancel my flight last night.
Oh, why, Johnny?
For multiple reasons, but one of them was because of my son. I didn't want to.
Is he not just feeling this well? Look.
No, he's doing all right. He's fine. He's great.
Baby took his first flight. I saw that.
Yes. Yeah, so I'm actually calling. Right now I'm in Toronto.
Nice.
I was going to Maui for basically 36 hours. And
oh,
I was like,
yeah, you can't do that to Jack.
My flight was delayed 3 hours, and I was like, you know what? He wasn't coming with me. He was staying home here.
Oh, you just didn't want to leave him behind.
Yes.
Oh, you sweetie. Oh.
So, anyway, it turned out to be well because I looked at the flights. I still got my flight monitoring. Both flights were 3 hours delayed. So I was like, man, I would have been in Maui for just a day. But I was supposed to go to a cool conference called Create and Cultivate.
Oh, neat.
Which was in L.A. last year. And it's for women you know, and their career to make their career dreams. And they have all these high, big time bloggers and Instagrammers. It would have been cool to meet them and check it out. But
I really hate short turnaround trips, the turn and burns.
I actually like them, but you know, when you have to take two flights and these days when the planes are packed and delayed, it's just, and you're in the back of the bus, it's just not fun.
No fun. No fun at all.
But I am coming to you from Toronto, and next week I'll be coming to you from a different place.
I bet the family's happy to see Jack and Natalie.
Yes, and they have going to my first Hindu wedding yesterday.
How fun is that?
That was really interesting.
Was there an elephant?
No, you know, I asked. That was my first question, but there was not. I guess they ride in horses a lot now. But it's tough to find an elephant in Toronto.
Yeah. Yeah, I know somebody who went to a Hindu wedding in India and there was an elephant, but I think it was a Hindu wedding. It's hard to know. They have so many different sects and religions and so forth, but still, how fun.
So always learning, getting new experiences, even when you're basically at home.
Traveling. I'm wearing my traveling outfit. I just ordered, you know, this is for the Amazon. I just ordered from Ex Officio makes travel clothes, so I ordered.
Oh, great stuff!
Yeah, because I wear their boxer shorts. I didn't know they made travel clothes.
I might even have them on right now.
Yeah, I love my Ex Officios. No. So I ordered two vented nylon shirts with the bug repellent built in.
That's what's the best part about it. Those bug repellent stuff.
And two pairs of convertible pants with the bug repellent built in. And they're good. I'm trying to remember. Was it light colors? Or dark colors you're supposed to wear?
Usually, I think blue is what attracts. In Africa, it's blue. Like blue jeans, that just attracts it.
Yeah,
so,
okay. Because I was listening, and I think it said get light colors because the dark colors attract the bugs.
Yeah, you want light colors.
So I got light colors because we can only bring, into Machu Picchu, we can only bring 17 pounds.
And are you spending a night up there? That really nice.
We're in the lodge.
Is it the Belmont Hotel? Was it?
I can't remember what it's called, but it's the only one in the park.
And they park and they pump in oxygen.
Oh, I didn't know that. I'll be looking for that. That's for sure. Johnny Jett, we're just talking because in 3 weeks I'm going to be doing some traveling. I'm going to the Amazon.
That's awesome.
I know. I'm so excited.
So how long are you going to be away for? 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
10 days?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. We're going to go to Machu Picchu up in the Andes, the old Inca ruins, 500-year-old ruins, and then back down to the water, and we're going to the Galapagos in Ecuador.
Wow.
So I was talking about travel clothes because I wanted to get something – lightweight. You're only allowed, because when you're flying to the Andes, the altitude is so high, the air is so thin, you're only allowed 17 pounds of luggage. And right. So I wanted to get, apparently clothes are heavy. I'm told. So it was, I got some very lightweight, breathable nylon clothing with bug repellent built in.
Yeah, the ex officio, they really do a nice job. And okay. When I go on safaris in Africa, that's what I use.
Yeah, I get, this is an L.L. Bean safari jacket with lots of zip, because I wanted to have security too when my wallet, my passport. So lots of zippered pockets and things like that, hidden pockets and stuff like that.
And the Scotty vest, you got to bring that too.
Got my Scotty vest too. That's where I put all my camera stuff, my lenses and.
Good. Well, speaking of gear, by the way, we just had my son's first flight last week.
Whoa! How old is Jack?
He's 8 months. Just turned 8 months.
Wow.
And it was nerve wracking, and but my wife found this ultimate stroller. So if anyone is traveling with a baby, this car seat stroller. It's a stroller. It turns into a car seat in the press of a button. So you just bring everything on the plane, as long as you buy a seat for the. For them, or when you're going around town, you just quickly plug it into the car or the seatbelt. I mean, it's like a dream. I was going through the TSA security check, and a woman behind me is like, "Oh my god, why didn't I have that when my kids were?"
And I know it's more expensive to buy baby a ticket, but it's just not. And then sometimes airlines will let you hold them in your lap. That's just not safe.
It's not. And actually, on this flight, we did do that because my mother-in-law was there. We had the whole row. But our next flights, I've bought the tickets because, it is not safe. And
you need a car seat. It's
much easier.
Yeah, yeah.
Car seat like this. And actually, speaking of devices, this is a real cool one for tech. I met with Dr. Oz a couple weeks ago.
No kidding. The Dr. Oz? Oh, I love him. Yeah.
They invited me to go meet him in Hollywood. And actually, they asked me to be on a show a while ago, but unfortunately, I couldn't do it. But he's partnered with this company called ResMed, which I never heard of, but they invented this thing called the Air Mini, the world's smallest CPAP machine. So I don't know if you have sleep apnea, but my dad does. And when I would travel with my dad, he's got to bring this thing that's like the size of a big suitcase, fine distilled water. This thing is the size of binoculars. It's so tiny.
Oh, nice.
It doesn't require water. And it comes out next week. And so, you know, if anyone has sleep apnea, definitely check this thing out. And I think your insurance pays for it. It's called the Air Mini.
The Air Mini.
And they have like this.
How much is it, though?
They wouldn't tell me how much of it. That was the question. Actually, he did a Facebook Live event, and I asked him. I said, how much is it? And they wouldn't tell me.
Yeah.
And but they said the insurance.
Insurance might cover it. Yeah, yeah.
Although I'm not 100% on that, so you got to check it out. But I know a lot of people who have sleep apnea, travel is just...
I didn't even think of that, traveling with a big CPAP device. That must be...
Especially if you got to wear it while you're on the plane, if you're on a long flight.
Right.
My dad's doctor tells him to sleep with it on the plane. I'm like, he can't bust this thing out on the plane. So hopefully they're going to send my dad one and check it out. But
good,
we'll see.
Good, good.
Anyway, here's a cool site for you, speaking of your flight. It's real simple, but it's called sunflight.net. It's like an old
.net.
So if you're ever looking at the in-flight maps and which I'm always keep on when I'm traveling, I just always fascinated about geography and where we're going. But this shows you put in your city pairs, how long the flight is and what time you're leaving, and it will show you if it's going to be sun or dark during the flight and where it will be.
Okay.
Which it can be useful, especially, you know, if you're trying to figure out, I mean, you should always carry an eye mask with you. But if you're by the window, a lot of people don't realize that you can still get sunburn, which I was shocked when I read that.
What?
But, yes.
Through the window?
Yeah. Actually, my dermatologist was like, you know, you shouldn't sit by the window on the planes. Cause I was like, what are you talking about? I'm always staring out the window. So
because they're plastic, not glass? Is that why? I thought.
I have no idea. Huh. And I've heard it from multiple doctors.
Okay.
I'm not a doctor, so I can't confirm it, but I'm just passing
the shade.
It on.
Closing the shade. All right.
Close the shade for sure. But I don't know if you brought the site up. I can't see on.
I can't. My computer just crashed.
I got you. All right. I was wondering because I was like, well, maybe he really doesn't like this site.
No, I can't bring it up. It's radio show, Johnny. Nobody cares. They can't see it.
All right. Well, I'm looking at you on Skype. So.
I know. I still like your flyover country that you recommended. I run that while I'm flying. You have to preload the maps, but then you can see what's below you and the geological features and stuff. That's really cool.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, by the way, there's really good deals out right now. I just saw some. British Airways has a deal from L.A. to Bologna, Italy for $606 round trip. From New York, it's $499.
Go there and get a bologna sandwich and come back. It's a great deal.
Yeah, or if you want to fly domestic, I mean, I saw L.A. to Atlanta, $226 round trip on American. So, you know, the time to buy your flights for the summer, by the way, if you can travel before June 15th, you'll find a really good deal. Or you got to start flying after, I think it's around August 15th, when the kids start going back to school. But they already have the sales now for those dates for late summer, early fall. So
now's
start
the time to check.
Signing up newsletters and jump on those deals.
Nice. Will do. Did you have an app for us or?
I do. I can find one. My app was that Air ResMap app.
Do you have a website for us then?
Well, that was the sunflight.net, but I can. I have another one too. There's another one called the remotelife.com.
He's just you got a bunch of them, don't you? You're amazing.
So if you are, you know, if you ever wanted to live or, you know, work around the world or on the other side of the world for a week or thought about doing it for, you know, a year, but you didn't want to take a chance, this company will allow you to do it for a week or a month in Southeast Asia, either Cambodia, Indonesia, or Thailand. It's only $500 for the week, and they provide you with housing, two meals, and, you know, 24/7 office. But if you want to do it for a month, it's only $1,500, and they'll pay for your flights to the other countries when they go. So I one time I recommended on the show a company that does it for a year, which is a long commitment. It costs $27,000. This one is only $500 for the week. And I think it's a great chance for people to get out and see the world and still be able to work, although you have to be able to work remotely. They don't give you a job. You have to have your job where it allows you to work remotely.
I could do this show from anywhere, right?
As long as you have good Wi-Fi.
I'm waiting. That's all I'm waiting for is good Wi-Fi, especially if we're on a cruise ship and I would just live on a boat. That's what I would do.
Oh, I would love to get my dad living on a cruise ship year-round.
Oh, wouldn't that be awesome? And you could visit him. I've talked to people who do that. You know, I talked to a woman. She said, "Mom, my family's in Florida. We get into Florida once every few months. I get to see everybody. Then I sail off into the sunset."
As long as there's no casino on board, it'd be good. Otherwise,
your
dad would be broke.
There are no ponies, but there is a casino.
He'd be walking around in his underwear. He'd be so broke.
Johnny Jett. He's at johnnyjett.com. That's his website. Follow him on Twitter, at Johnny Jett, Instagram, too. And don't forget to subscribe to his free travel newsletters. There's some great deals, and you can get those for free at johnnyjett.com. And we'll see you next week. Thank you, Johnny.
All right, thank you.
Enjoy your visit to Toronto. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. We'll be back with more of your calls and questions and answers right after this. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888 Ask Leo. Josie is a very patient parent from Valley Center. Thank you for hanging on, Josie.
Oh, you're welcome.
I appreciate it. So your son is moving out of state.
Right.
And you'd like a way to pay him, give him money.
Well, transfer actually back and forth from one of us to the other. So,
right.
Yeah. We both have iPhones, and he suggested something called the Cash App.
I would look at something called Venmo before you do that.
Venmo, okay.
V-E-N-M-O. That's owned by PayPal.
Okay.
And it is widely used by people of his age group.
Okay.
It's often used like when everybody goes out to dinner and they use Venmo to pay each other.
Oh, okay.
And because it's backed by PayPal, I think it's it's a rock solid technology.
Okay.
Transferring money, you know, often people say Western Union, and that is probably the most primitive solution. They're the ones that have been around the longest. But PayPal has a company called Xoom, X-O-O-M, that is also very good for transferring internationally. But since he's in the country,
right,
there's a lot of different ways that, you know, you can do this. Even Facebook Messenger is about to add payments. Telegram, WhatsApp. All of these messenger programs are about to add payments. What you should check out is how much of a commission they take.
Oh.
Because they are going to charge you for these transfers. You know, the least expensive way to do it is to establish a bank account that you both can pay into and out of.
Okay.
You know, so if you already are banking with somebody, have him establish a bank account at the same bank in the state that he's in, and then you can link them up and then without fee transfer money back and forth.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because everybody else is going to charge you some percentage, usually 3, 4, or 5%.
All right.
Number of people in the chat room, though, are saying that they love Cash.me. So there's nothing wrong with Cash.me, and if he likes that. But I would check the percentage.
Okay.
In fact, even Apple is about to get into this, apparently. There have been rumors that they're going to add payments to Messenger.
Okay. All right. But okay. The Venmo or the Cash?
Venmo is I've used for years. It's a really great service. It does a great job.
Okay. And it's really secure. It's easy to use.
These are all, everything we've mentioned, including Cash.me, is secure.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. But do check see the commission, because they're all going to charge you a certain amount of money.
All
apparently,
right.
The youngins are telling me, they're in the chat room, oh, now the youngins use cash.me much more than we use Venmo. So I guess cash.me is taken over.
Okay.
There's no commission on cash.me? Well, how do they make their money? I'm talking to our studio manager, who says he does it all the time. Well, they must charge something somewhere. No? All right. John says cash.me charges no commission.
Oh, okay.
All right. But I would still check.
That sounds good. And I really appreciate
Yeah, it says
advice.
Free. No, it says free.
Okay. The most important thing to me is that it's
That it's secure.
Safe. It's secure.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. And you're right to be worried about that. I don't blame you.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you so much, Leo.
My pleasure. Take
right.
care.
You too. Bye-bye.
And sorry to keep you on hold for so long. So you use cash.me, John, as well? He says you used to be able to do it on the web. Now you have to use the app. And that actually makes it more secure. Well, now how do they make money if they don't charge a commission? That's my question.
It's part of a bigger company.
It's part of a bigger company.
Right?
When it's a big company, they can afford to do that. I don't know. who is Cash.me? He says it's somebody you know. All right. Well, I'll have to. Oh, it's Square.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I like Square. But yeah, all right. Yeah, Square is very reliable, excellent company. Highly recommend it. Yeah, in fact, I think I should say that they are, I believe, a sponsor on some of our podcasts. That's how much I like them. Moving on to Kurt in Thousand Oaks. Hi, Kurt. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well, sir. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
The reason I called is I'm in a love-hate relationship with my Apple product.
Oh,
and,
dear. Oh,
you know,
dear.
Probably just like everybody else that talks about the difference between the Android and the iOS. A little while ago, I was standing out in front of the Apple store, and the reason I was there is I accidentally got my iPad Air 2 wet.
Oy.
Yep, and I tried the old bag of rice thing, and it never came back, so it's dead.
Yeah.
Apple says they will replace that thing. It's the 64 gigabyte version for about $300. It's just, at the end of the day, I would do the backup through the cloud, and I'd basically be back to where I was in the beginning.
Right.
But there's something that's luring me towards the Android side. There's a couple of apps that are not available for iOS products. And so anyways, I'm very much, actually, I bought a Galaxy S2 tab, the 8-inch version from a local.
Oh, interesting. And how do you like it?
You know, I like it, but I'm struggling. One of the things I want it to do, of course, is to be able to look at my pictures. And that was part two of my question for you.
Well, let me give you the quick rundown on Android tablets. Android tablets are fine in every respect. In fact, Samsung's tabs are very much designed to be price competitive and feature competitive with Apple's iPads.
Sure.
The difference is the store. There are far fewer tablet-aware apps on Android. They're on the Macintosh. Lots of iPad apps. And this has always been a problem. And I don't know why Google hasn't, you know, somehow solved this. But Android apps, a lot of times on the tablet, real estate, don't use it very well. So that would be, but if the app that you want is on Android and it works well with the Samsung, then I think that that's a very good choice.
Yeah, so the I guess that brings me to part two of my question here, is I have been living in the Mac world for quite some time now, and I have a, what is this thing called, a Mac laptop of some sort of
Air. Yeah, it doesn't matter, they're all the same. All right, go ahead.
Whatever, a MacBook Air. And I want to be able to get the pictures off my Air and put it on the Samsung.
Got it. So here's my recommendation.
Where the heck are the pictures?
Are you using Photos? Is that Apple's Photos?
I think it's, I guess Photos and
iPhoto. Photos creates a Photos library, but as you correctly point out, it's just one big file. Or is it? If you right-click on it and select Open Package, you'll notice it's not a big file. It's actually a folder. Apple does this. Offers this feature, which is, I think, a very nice feature from the point of view of end users. They can bundle everything up so that you don't, you know, with Windows, you'll have files all over the place, just strewn everywhere. With Apple, they bundle it all up into what looks like a monolithic file, but you can inspect it by right-clicking on it and show package contents. And what it really is a folder. And inside there, there's an original Photos folder that has all your original photos.
Okay. Is there an app that you would recommend? Because
Here's what I would do, and I recommend this to everybody. Google offers a free app called Google Photos.
Okay.
And it works very nicely with a tablet, but it also works with a Macintosh. In fact, they have a desktop downloader that understands that the Apple photos are stored inside that Photos library and can upload them to Google Photos automatically. Now, that's going to give you a backup of all your images. It's automatically duplicated on every device that has the Google Photos app, including your new tablet or an iPad if you want. Photos is available on Android and iOS. And when we were talking about this at the beginning of the hour, Photos does a lot of interesting processing. John, our studio manager, was saying, you know, I was trying to find a picture of my neighbor's kitty cat, so I just typed in the search cats. And its machine learning is so good, it pulled up all the pictures he'd ever taken of cats. It works with dogs. It works with locations. I even type Paris in the snow, and I'll have pictures I took of Paris in the snow.
How does it know?
How do it know? So and it's unlimited for, now they call it reduced quality. They turn it into JPEGs. I think they're very fine quality. Certainly for a screen, they're just fine. If you're going to make a billboard, maybe not. But they do make JPEGs out of them and to save some space. But it's unlimited storage for JPEGs, which is cuckoo. And the reason they're doing that is they get all sorts of value. You know, they're training their machine learning on your pictures of cats.
Okay. So this is the Google Photos is available for the iOS,
Android. It's free, and they have desktop uploaders for Mac and Windows. So you can get all of your libraries uploaded. You can add independent folders if you want. You can browse around and say, make sure you get this, don't get this. I do that because it's backup. Plus, it has this huge convenience factor. And if I want the original, at least now I know where the original, you know, what the original is and what date it is, and I can find it quickly. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. No, it's pretty good. You're right. I mean, it's not perfect, but it's pretty good. Here, let's see. And sometimes I get cats in my dog pictures and that kind of thing, but it's not. And I like it that every picture I take on any of my phones is automatically uploaded. And then when I take pictures with my digital, DSLRs or other cameras, at the end of the day, I'll copy them over because, you know, they all have Wi-Fi and I can copy them over to my phone and then they get backed up from the phone. So that's going to be my workflow when we travel is as at the end of every day, I will copy photos over to my phone where they'll be slowly, admittedly, uploaded to Google Photo. So there's a few llamas. And so I searched for dogs, and there's a few llamas. I guess it doesn't know it from a llama from a dog. There's a bunch of Ozzy. You know, if I was trying to find pictures of Ozzy, there's a gorilla, which isn't a dog. There's a cat, you know. But, you know, that's I'd rather actually that it had false positives than false negatives, you know. And then there's, you know, there's a towel dog. That's pretty good. I mean, I think it does a pretty good job. There's a metal dog. There's dogs in a parade. So it does a pretty good job. The point is, it's not only frequently good, it's getting better all the time. I mean, if 20 years ago, if you'd said, oh, yeah, you could just, you know, all your pictures will be on a website and you can search them by name, I don't know, people would have been kind of blown away. And I like the, they haven't turned it on my account yet, but I'm looking forward to the new auto share stuff. All right, let me try motorcycles. That's a good idea. See if it does that. Yep. A bunch of motorcycles. Or bicycles. That's pretty good. But it's including bicycles in with the motorcycles. But that's all right. I didn't realize I had so many pictures of motorcycles. For some reason, it's including pictures I took of the Flaming Lips concert. I guess it kind of thinks that's a motorcycle. I don't know. And it thinks this hobby horse is a motorcycle. That's pretty funny. But I'm willing to venture it got all my motorcycles. And when I enter Abby, I get pictures of her as a child as well. That's kind of cool. That's neat. These are pictures I took of Abby when Henry graduated from high school 4 years ago. Abby and Henry. My beautiful children. It's kind of fun to have these. So I guess I could type Abby and Henry. That's cool. That's cool. Well, hey, hey, hey. How are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk computers and the internet. Home theater, digital photography, smartphones, smart watches, 888-ASK-LEO. That's the phone number, 888-827-5536. That's toll-free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada. Give us a ring. Let's talk high-tech. Website, if you hear something you want to make a note of, you don't have to jot it down right now. Just go to the website, techguylabs.com. We put everything there. And what's nice is... you can refer back to it, and there's no sign up. No, there's a search. Audio and video from every show gets put there after the fact. I mean, it's just a valuable resource for you, and I hope you'll use it anytime. 24/7, techguylabs.com. Let's go to Brielle, New Jersey. Don's on the line. Hi, Don.
Hey, Leo. How are you?
Is it Brielle?
It's Brielle.
Brielle. All right. What can I do for you, Don?
Long-time listener, watcher. I remember you from the original Screensavers.
Thank you. Yeah, those were the days. Almost 10 years ago. I mean, 20 years ago. More than 10
years. Yeah, it's been, yeah. been quite a while. Almost 20. And, I'm a health and phys ed teacher, want to be a geek, affectionately like you.
Nice.
And that show, before we get started my question, that show, you taught us how to take the start menu and make it your picture.
Oh, really? I don't remember how to do that.
And I did it. And then both my wife and I, computers crashed. So I just, you know, learned a lesson that if you want to be a geek, you actually have to be one. And
you can't just copy recipes. Yeah.
You can't. No, I tried it and it worked for a couple of days. And then everything went to, because he got into the BIOS and, you know, the visceral part of the computer, which I wasn't familiar with.
Yeah.
But my family were going on a trip on a cruise.
Okay.
And I would like to get Wi-Fi on the cruise. And I know you were talking about Skyrim Mobile.
Won't work on a cruise.
That's why I was calling, because you would be the guy to ask
the cheapest
recommendations.
And best way to get internet on a cruise ship is from the cruise ship. Because they often have a marine satellite. Now, it's not very fast in most cruise ships, and it's pretty expensive, but that's the best way. Sometimes cruise ships have cellular connections. They call it cellular at sea, but that's for phone calls only. That's even more expensive. So generally speaking, I recommend that unless you're in a port, you just pretend that you're disconnected from the world, floating on the beautiful ocean and enjoying life.
Okay.
Once you get to a port, then it's different, because inside a port, anywhere you could get cell signal, you can get data, and so those, you know, those devices would work. You can also, of course, get off the ship, and in almost every port you'll find internet cafes that offer inexpensive, faster service. What's the cruise line you're on?
Carnival.
Okay. So there is one cruise line that has actually very fast internet. It's the Royal Caribbean line. I was on the Anthem of the Seas a year and a half ago, and they have something they call Voom Internet, and it's almost as fast as your landline. Still expensive, but right. Most of the other ones are using marine satellite. They don't have – the whole ship shares a connection that's probably slower than your home connection. So if you want to – you know, if you need to be online, if you need to get email, for instance, you might be getting up very early in the morning. You're a fitness enthusiast. Get up 4:30 in the morning. Download your email while you're on the treadmill, that kind of thing, because the gyms are busy too. So,
what about satellite? Is there any such thing as satellite data package for a week or for a month?
Yeah, that's basically what you're buying from the ship. Anything else would be prohibitively expensive. You'd have to buy a receiver. You're stuck with the ship's Wi-Fi. That's it.
Okay, because there is free Wi-Fi in the floor above us in the library, I believe.
Good. Just go upstairs, use the library when you need to, but you're not going to be watching Netflix.
No. I would just be looking, but mostly at my email.
That's pretty much
100 or so a day. I just don't want to come back to more than 1,000 in my inbox.
I don't blame you, and yeah, you can do that. And as I said, it's best when others are asleep, late at night or early in the morning. But you can totally do that. Almost all ships will offer you that. But you can't get around. You're out in the ocean. You can't really get around their Wi-Fi solution. That's going to be the most affordable, as expensive as it is. Again, once you're in a port, you're just like you're in a town, and you can get the internet that is just like you're traveling. But remember, don't use. This is where people get in so much trouble. Turn off data roaming on your phone, on your tablet, on your computer. Don't do data roaming, because unless you've arranged for international data plans, that's very expensive. That's the most expensive thing you can do, is international data roaming. So turn off data roaming. You could go talk to your cell carrier, see what they offer in terms of international plans. T-Mobile has kind of free international data. It's not high speed, but it's pretty good. So if you have a T-Mobile phone or a T-Mobile tablet, you'll probably be in good shape no matter where you go. You'll be able to get some internet. And it will be, you get so used to really bad internet at sea that once you get in port and you're on T-Mobile, you'll be so happy, even though it's not as fast as at home. Remember, it's a vacation. And I don't blame you for wanting to get through those emails and not come back to a ton of email. That's one of the things I like about cruises. It enforces your detachment. You got to get offline. I think shipboard Wi-Fi will be adequate. And then if you get in port, arrange for a data package from your carrier. T-Mobile's are free. Sprint has a One World package that's very inexpensive. Verizon's the most expensive, but you can buy a package of megabytes gigabytes. Megabytes are pretty expensive as it is. You probably don't want gigabytes. AT&T will do the same thing. Mike is on the line in Orange, California. Hi, Mike. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi there.
Hey.
I have a Samsung 8 Plus. I use Google Voice a lot. And when I'm driving or I want to go somewhere, I usually use Waze.
Yep.
But when you Google Voice, it always pulls up maps. And I've tried a couple of different things to have it try to go to Waze, but I just can't figure it out.
So, I see. You're saying open, navigate to, and it pulls up maps. You prefer to use Waze. I get it.
Right.
Yeah. I haven't tried this, but can you say open Waze and navigate to? I think once you've got Waze open, Waze has voice navigation. But you're right. We should. Yeah, that's a good point.
Even if I have Waze open and I'd say Google navigate to wherever, it'll pop open maps.
Yeah, it's very frustrating. I think you can, let me just check, make Waze your default nav by going into the applications menu or the app manager and then open Waze. First, what you'll want to do is disconnect Google Maps and then open Waze and say open by default. And I think that will make Waze your default app.
So do you know? I actually tried that, and Maps
still overrides it, huh? Well, that's
T-Mobile.
T-Mobile overrides it.
Or not, T-Mobile doesn't override, just Maps overrides it, or yeah. Google Voice overrides it.
Well, you got to, yeah, I understand. Let me just see.
I'm gonna... selected is the, like what you said to do, selected as your default map, I guess, Waze. But then when you go back to Google Voice, it'll then ask you
right.
permission to open Maps.
And then say, no, take Waze.
Huh.
Well, you know, I'm going to try it, and I'll because you know, I wouldn't be surprised. Google, it's funny because they, you understand, they own both.
Yeah.
So I'm just looking. So I've gone into the apps settings and open by default, and I'm going to clear the defaults. Oh, you can't clear the defaults on Maps. So that's probably it. They probably are. Why are they doing that? I don't know. The good news is some of that Waze data is getting into Maps, but I know you might prefer to use Waze. Anybody can help. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Give us a ring. That's a weird. So I'm going to Waze. I'm going to open by default. Here, let's look here. Going a ways. I went to open by default. Open supported links app. Ask every time. Open in this app. Supported links. Okay. No default set. Okay. Don't listen to this. Navigate to downtown Petaluma. Now, this is on a Google Pixel, and it should at this point open, or at least actually what it should do now, because I've cleared defaults, is it should say, I don't know, no, instead it's just sitting there. I broke it. Let's try it again. Navigate to downtown Petaluma. Yeah, it's opening Maps, isn't it? Oh, no, it opened Waze. There you go. So that did work. So try it again. Now, this is, now you're on an SA. This is a Google Pixel, so it's conceivable that... Samsung's done something. But you go to settings, you go to apps. I think the first thing you're going to want to do, although, is go to Google Maps. Where's Maps? It's just sometimes Google precedes it with Google, and sometimes it just says Maps. Okay, and then open by default. No default set. Open supported links. Open in this app. I can say don't open in this app. Open, yeah, say, yeah. So I'm saying now don't. I'm basically turning off default launching and then going back to Waze. This is in the, again, the apps menu. And I'm saying open by default. Open supported links. Open in this app. I guess that's all I had to do. So, there you go. That's Waze. I had it set to Mr. T voice. Scared the hell out of me the other day. So now it's now the default navigation in Google Voice is Waze, at least on the Pixel. So that technique does work. I couldn't think anything. So these are the photos books now offered by Google's Photos. I took a few from Google I.O. They're really quite nice. And they're printed pretty automatically. You know, you just say, pick the best pictures from my, you know, trip to the Grand Canyon or whatever, and then it will, and it does this, the full truck, which is, I've never seen before. Let me see if I can find it. That's pretty amazing. Two-page spread. Oh, is that, you bring another one back?
No, no, no. This is an Apple one.
Yeah, I think Apple's still better, but Apple takes more work.
Two-page spread, though.
Yeah, that two-page spread is pretty nice. Yeah. And this, I think the quality is as good as Apple's. It's nice, heavy stock and good printing. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Yeah, I just tried it with my Google Pixel phone, and it worked. I was able to make Waze the default mapping application for navigation, for voice navigation. I'm not sure if Galaxy S8, they've done something strange. Yeah, Samsung's done something strange. But it worked. It worked for me, as they say. 8888 Ask Leo. Carrie is on the line from Ontario, California. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, Leo.
How are you?
I say Galaxy 8 has done something strange.
Yeah, they, you know, Samsung still feels the need to slightly customize everything.
Yes.
It makes me mad.
Well, I listened to your glowing report about the S8, and so I got the S8 Plus on Thursday night.
Nice. What do you think?
The issue, I love the phone. I'm having one issue, and it's a big issue for me because I use it mostly for voice texting.
Yeah.
And what it's doing is, when I, say I speak in the word hello, when I just upgraded from my, I had my S7, the cursor would end at the O, and I would double tap the space bar, and I would get a period. Now what's happening is, when I say hello, the cursor puts in a single space after the O,
oh,
and I have to go to the keyboard and backspace one to add a period.
You wanted to leave the cursor at the end of the word and not put a space in until you get another word.
Right, because it didn't do that on the S7.
Yeah.
It ended right at the O, and I would hit the space bar twice, and it would put the period in. Now it will put the period in, but it leaves a space from the O
that's no
to
fun.
The period.
So have you gone into the, you're using the Samsung keyboard that came with it? Probably.
Well, I think so. You know, you can go in and it gives you three options, Samsung, Google, and something else. But,
you might try a different keyboard. So in the keyboard, there are settings to make double space be a period and then move.
I have that.
And
I
you've turned that on. It sounds like they've changed the behavior of the keyboard. So what I would suggest is trying Gboard, Google's keyboard, or SwiftKey, and just see if that behavior is the same.
SwiftKey, it's called SwiftKey?
SwiftKey is free and a very nice keyboard replacement, and Google's own is called Gboard. I'd actually like the Samsung, default Samsung keyboard. I think it's pretty nice. But that sounds like it's behavior from the keyboard, not from the voice system.
Okay.
So by changing the keyboard, you might get that behavior to change. If it doesn't, then it's built into the voice system.
Which is crazy. Now, if I say the word hello, period, then it does add the period, but I have to say it.
Yeah. I'm used to doing that, so I probably haven't noticed this behavior because I always...
Oh, you are.
I speak punctuation. I say, hello, comma, this is Leo, exclamation point. I'm sending you a text from my phone, exclamation point. New paragraph, that kind of thing.
Well, the other thing is when I just had the 7, sometimes I would say the word period, and it would write the word period.
Sometimes it types it. That's right, and that's very annoying. Then you have to go back and edit it. Yeah, I mean, this sounds like the kind of thing Samsung, behavior Samsung might have changed, which would be kind of annoying. But one test, I would try is using alternate keyboards just to see if that's specific to the keyboard. In other words, is the keyboard doing it or is the voice doing it?
Okay. I didn't know if I needed to contact Samsung and tell them they have a design flaw.
It could, and if it changing keyboards doesn't do it, then you're going to contact Samsung. That's the kind of thing companies do all the time, though, right? Based on our extensive consumer research, we got Joey in the lab here. We tried it out on him. We've decided not to, to put a space after every word. I just think that that's the kind of thing they change without really much thinking about it. I'm sorry.
Okay.
To say.
All right. Well, other than that, I absolutely love the phone.
The screen is amazing, isn't it?
Oh, my gosh. It's wonderful.
Yeah, I don't think there's a better screen. How do you like the camera?
I haven't taken a picture yet.
I think it's a very good camera, but I'm just curious. You know, I'm getting additional impressions. Yeah, I think they did a very nice job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Well, I upgraded from the 7, and I really liked the
the
photos, but it froze up on me all the time. I had 3 of them, and they all froze up, so I finally said, I'm done with it.
When I first got the S8, there were little minor hesitations, which is a Samsung trademark, but then I got an update, and it seemed to have fixed it, so I don't know.
Yeah, I did
know.
Do the software update. I got it Thursday night. I did the update yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that actually improved performance a little bit. And you expect that with a brand new phone that they make some changes. And, you know, they might fix that space thing. You never know.
Maybe they will. Maybe I'll ride them.
Complain.
Thank you, Leo.
You're welcome.
And
thank
enjoy
you.
Your vacation.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm excited. I'll be bringing one T-Mobile phone. My iPhone is T-Mobile because of the international data plan. And then I have the Google phone, the Pixel, with Google's service. They call it Google Fi, F-I. And they also, like T-Mobile, offer free international data and inexpensive international calling. I think both of these carriers are very good choices for traveling internationally. So it'll be interesting to see what happens as I get up into the Andes, way high above the clouds. I've been to Machu Picchu once before, the famous Incan ruins, and when I was there, I used Foursquare and checked in. You know about Foursquare? It's dated now. This was 5 years ago. Nobody uses Foursquare anymore, but I still do. And you can check in, and if you check in a place enough, you become the mayor of it. You know, I'm the mayor of my hair salon. I'm the mayor of the local Chuck E. Cheese or whatever. They made a game out of it. But I was very pleased a few years ago when I visited Machu Picchu to become the mayor of Machu Picchu. What's more, since so few people went up there to play Foursquare, I remained the mayor for several months. But ultimately, as often happens, my term ended and somebody else eclipsed me. So I'm looking forward to okay, this is dopey, I understand. I'm looking forward to going back up to Machu Picchu at great expense to reassert my mayorship. And it's my hope at this point that nobody's using Foursquare anymore and that I can remain the mayor. And I will let you know, I can remain the mayor of Machu Picchu. I will be very, that is a goal. It's a, hey, you know, when Hiram Bingham discovered it in 1911, much of the world was still unexplored. Now there's not many places you can go where you can really, you know, plant your flag in the sand. Greg in Whittier, California. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Greg.
Hi, Leo. How you doing?
I am well. How are you?
Good, good. I'm a strength conditioning coach, and I was talking to one of my baseball players this morning, you know, trying to get some heart rate readings and so forth while he's on the field. I want him to wear a chest strap heart rate monitor, but he can't wear a watch on the field.
Right.
Any other idea where... can I get an Apple Watch and put it in his bag? Maybe
no, it has to be on his wrist. Has to be right on his wrist. And you're right, because those straps, unfortunately, they're Bluetooth. They don't go more than 30 meters, 100 feet. So if he's going out in the field, you may not be able to get a reading from a strap. It's right going to be right on the edge of it. Is he an outfielder or an infielder?
He's actually a catcher.
Okay. That might work, because you could be right behind the backstop.
And that's what I thought. I thought about putting maybe... in the dugout, in his bag, put his Apple Watch or put like a Garmin and have his
chest the Apple Watch does not work with chest straps. It works only by being on your wrist. So you'll need a Garmin or some other device, a Polar, that uses a chest strap. But, because it's Bluetooth, it's limited in range. I think, if he's the catcher, you might be able to do it. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. That's it. You would think that's the kind of thing the professionals would have figured out, right? Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888 Ask Leo. Somebody in the chat room said, you know, you should probably try playing Pokemon Go when you're up there in the Andes. Maybe you could occupy a Poke Gym forever and ever. I didn't think of that. Mark on the line from Costa Mesa, California. Hi, Mark. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo. How are you today?
I am well. How are you?
I'm great. I had a computer question. So.
Yes,
it's not a watch. It's not a phone. It's a computer. I have about 20, maybe 25 hard drives. You know, I've been collecting them for years. They're PATA, SATA drives. And I was looking for a documentary on Rod Serling for some research I'm doing for my podcast, I guess, I'll say. But
submitted for your approval, man with a podcast.
And pardon me?
I was just doing a little Rod Serling.
Oh, yeah.
So you don't know what hard drive it's on.
Yeah, so, I mean, I realized, you know, when you get up into 1 terabyte, you get a lot of those files. I have a lot of graphics. I have a lot of TV shows and movies, song, music, ton of music. And I'm not good at organizing it, and especially when it's over 20 or 25 hard drives. So is there anything that will save my sorry butt regarding trying to figure out where stuff is or how to categorize it, like a database of some sort?
How do you attach the hard drives? Are they all USB or?
Yeah, I have a NAS, so I use that for my main backup, but otherwise they're just bare drives that are in a carrier of some sort, either external hard drive case or those, you know, those cool ones where you plug it in, you just punch it into the slot.
You have one of those toaster, the little things you can.
Yeah, they're kind of cool.
So what you'd want to do is run software that would be designed for offline storage, and.
Yes.
And so what you'd do is you'd sit there, you'd be running the software, and you'd one by one plug in those 25 drives. The software would run and build an index. It has to build an index to do a search. And then, even though those drives are offline, and make sure you number them or something, you put a big one on each, you know, somehow indicate which drive it is.
Right.
And then you'd have a master catalog of all 25 that you could search, and it would say, oh, that's on drive 22.
Right.
Would that be adequate?
Yeah, no, that would have helped me tremendously. I still haven't found the Rod Serling documentary, and so I'm sure it's on one of those. But I went through about 10 of them last night, and I was going nuts.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it would that would be great.
The trick is offline. That's the word that you're looking for,
right.
Because any drive that's not connected is offline. It's easy. I mean, Windows itself organizes and indexes all the online drives, including your NAS. But
right.
it doesn't do the offline drives. So there are catalogers. There's one called WinCatalog at wincatalog.com. It's been kept up to date. It's been around for quite some time. And it's exactly that. So it allows you to one by one go through. And it's a little smarter than the average bear, because if it's a music file, it'll get the ID3 tags. If it's an image file, it'll get the EXIFs. If it's if it's video files, it'll store more than just the file name and date.
Oh.
Yeah, and that's what you want. So,
that's exactly what I want.
Yeah. So there's a trial version that's limited to 10 disks, but at least get you started, and then it's not very expensive.
I don't mind spending a few bucks for it.
Personal license is $30. So that's one, and I'm sure that a number of people know of these kinds of things. In fact, Tinker Toy Tech is saying something called Void Tools has a program called Everything. That will do it. So there, in other words, the key to this is something that will organize offline files. So Void Tools, Everything. We'll put a link. We'll put links in the show notes for all of these. Disk Explorer Professional, Boz suggested. So there's quite a few of these. Anything that will get, you know, search through a disk, add it to a catalog, and then let you know. Where that stuff is. This is really, everything is really optimized for speed, the chat was saying. So I think the Win catalog looks like it's more optimized for information. And frankly, that's where I would go, because, you know, who cares if you have to go get a cup of coffee each time you insert another drive?
Right. No, that doesn't bother me. Yeah. If I could find out where it is.
Yeah.
My goal.
What you want is to figure out where everything is.
Right. Yeah. Now, I wonder if WinCatalog or these other ones will also take into account the drives that are attached and are online.
Yes.
Or are they
both
excluded from that?
No, not at all. I mean, you get to exclude what you want.
I see.
But, by default, it's going to, every drive it sees, even if those drives eventually go offline, it's going to keep track of. And that's the key.
That's perfect.
Yep. Yep. Photographers deal with this all the time. Photographers who have many, many images very rarely keep them all online. They need so Lightroom and other programs that are designed to organize files understand that and will have information in the catalog about which disk that mm-hmm. photo is on. So the photographer can go back and say, oh, yeah, I got to put disk 43 in.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so you've got the key thing, which I really recommend, I really like, is these little ejectable disk holders. That makes it very easy to use a bare disk and just go through it.
Yeah, and if it does more than just catalog the name, in other words, because I don't know if the Serling documentary is under his name or under American Masters did one called what's that phrase he used to use? Presented for your approval or
yeah,
submitted for
yeah,
your approval?
Submitted for your approval. A man yeah. with 28 discs and no idea where my story is hidden. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, this works with CDs. This works with anything. So it doesn't care what kind of storage. If you can mount the drive,
right.
it will then index it, and you give it a name. That's the key, by the way. You don't just throw those disks in. You got to name them and put a label on it so you know you can go back to it.
Right. All right. As usual, I appreciate your time and your great knowledge.
My
Thank
pleasure.
You so much.
My pleasure. And I look forward to listening to your podcast. I'm a huge Rod Serling fan. Our show today brought to you by the amazing Epson Fast Photo. Preserve what's priceless with the Epson Fast Photo Scanner. It's the world's fastest photo scanner, fast and easy. Scan thousands of photos as fast as 1 per second at 300 DPI. Restore, save, organize, and share your collection with the Epson Fast Photo. FASTFOTO. John in Los Angeles is next. Hi, John. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hello, John.
Yes, yes.
Come over to the phone, my friend. Your time has come. That's my fault. We keep you on hold for hours, and I appreciate your patience.
No problem. I have my question is, I'm running Windows 10, and when I try to update it, it says, sorry, can't connect to the update service right now. Try again later. But, of course, I can try as much as I want. And
every time it says that, that's not good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I presume you know that your machine is on, you can surf the net and all of that stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm definitely online.
Cannot connect. Well, let me look and see what that error message means, because that's exactly what Microsoft doesn't want to have happen. In fact, they require with Windows 10 that you update it whenever there's an update. And, of course, we had a patch Tuesday just about a week ago. I do see people saying that they've had this problem.
Yeah, I'm looking at the error message right now.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll give you a link to Microsoft, of course, as with anything that happens a lot, has a troubleshooter on their website.
I think I tried the troubleshooter.
Yeah, they have a troubleshooter in the help file. Let me look a little farther and see if I can come up with something for you. The GizWiz is coming up. Dick DiBartolo, right after this word. Stay here. Are you in a car?
No, I'm not.
I hear a dinging.
Yeah, I have another word, another very quick, interesting word problem that I was going to ask you about, too.
Okay, go ahead while I'm still looking at this.
That is, I found a iPhone 5 on my bike ride today on the street.
Oh, somebody's pinging it. That's somebody pinging it saying, where's my darn iPhone?
Yeah, so that my problem is that the screen is smashed up, so I can't see anything on it.
Well, you got to hope they'll be intelligent enough to call it so you can answer the phone and say, I have it here.
Yeah, they just tried that. I disconnected them, but maybe they'll try back again because I was on the phone with you.
Oh, no. Oh.
But that's okay. They'll probably try back.
They'll try back. Yeah, my daughter did that the other day. We were in she'd been in a drugstore, left it there. And I said, well, let me call it. And the druggist answered, and I said, we'll be right back in.
Right. But when they call it and I can't see the screen, do I have to swipe in order to answer the call? Or how do I swiping on the screen?
Wow, that's a good question. Yeah. Because if you press the on-off switch, that'll disconnect it. That'll reject the call.
So Yeah, next time they call, I'll just try to swipe across the broken screen.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm looking at a long thread, and people say, well, reinstall your Ethernet card. Wow. Let me see if I can, if I'll go to the last page. You don't have defer upgrades turned on. It sounds like Windows is hosed, frankly, if from what I'm reading here. People say uninstall your network card and let it reinstall, but I don't think that's it. Wow. Now, one thing you could try is what we call WSUS, which is their, we were talking about this earlier, their kind of direct downloads. And it may be that some update that you applied has kind of screwed it up, but it might fix itself if you go to WSUS. So, wow. Is this a, you're the only owner of this computer?
Yeah. You know what's crazy is I've got a person standing outside my house.
Yeah, go give him his phone. Go give him his phone.
Okay.
And we'll put something in the show notes, okay?
Okay.
All well, right.
I appreciate that.
Take care. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Poor guy. Look, I didn't run it over. There's a guy standing outside my house. We know what he wants. Is he in bicycle shorts? All right, Dickie D.
Leo, how you doing?
I am great. Well, now, I'm sorry about last week.
What happened last week?
I wasn't here. I had the
flu. I still did my spot.
Oh, good. Thank God.
Yeah. I thought Padre was acting strange. And when I finished it, I said, oh, that says pre-recorded. So, anyway.
Can you?
Nothing stops me.
Can you do a pre-record next Saturday? Of?
Actually, I just emailed John and said, is it possible to do a pre-record next Saturday?
Yes, it is.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, good. Yeah, we're going to do all the pre-records next Saturday. Good.
Perfect.
Great.
Perfect. Yeah, I'll be here and I just went hang up after my spot. And where are you going?
South America way.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We're going to Peru and Ecuador. We're going to the Galapagos and Machu Picchu.
Wow.
Here we go.
You'll go just so your credit card is good?
I'm sure it won't when I get back. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. And here he is. He's a super freak. Dick D. Bartolo, Mad Magazine's maddest writer. We call him the Giz Whiz because he always brings his gizmos, and he's a wizard of gadgets. Hi, Dickie D.
How are you, pal? Good to see you back in the old saddle there.
Yeah, and now I'm leaving again. In about 3 weeks, I'm going on vacation. But for people who are on the line right now, hang on the line because we're going to keep answering calls after the show to record for those weekends that I won't be here. And I think Scott Wilkinson's coming in to do a few shows as well, so we can have...
Oh, great, great, yeah.
Some fresh
content.
Going
to the Amazon, right?
The Amazon. You see, I'm wearing my Amazonian jacket.
Yeah. Are you going to the warehouse in Jersey? Because you could come across and visit Disneyland.
I might, yeah. The Amazon warehouse. Yeah, no, I'm going to the actual Amazon, the river.
Whoa!
Yeah, man.
Oh, my God. That's going to be very exciting.
It's so
exciting.
Funny. We called our doctor to say, do we need any shots for the Amazon? And they said, you have to call Safeway. I said, what? They said, Safeway.
The supermarket? What?
Apparently, the Safeway pharmacy, there's one up the road a piece, has a travel center where they know what, they have the medicines and they know which ones to give you. So then we called Safeway and they said, "Oh, those doctors keep doing that. We don't have anything. Go ask your doctor. You have to get a prescription. I can't just give you a shot."
I see.
They're kind of getting the runaround. I'm thinking I don't need anything. I'm just going.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
I'm just all going. Right. So Dick, you always come by with something fun.
You know what, Leo? I have a very inexpensive gadget, and I've done something that you and I always talk about never doing. And you probably have a deluxe version of this. I have a basket with batteries in it and all new batteries. And when I get a new gadget, I take out two batteries and there are two left and I just throw them back in the basket because I'll take care of them later.
And then I have another basket, which you should have. Yes. For recycling batteries, right? You don't throw out when you're done, do you?
Yeah. No.
You have to recycle
them. Actually have done that. Although once a year we have recycling day where you can go on a Sunday and bring anything that you can't put out in the garbage.
Yeah.
Car batteries, gallons of oil, stuff like
and
that.
And electronic waste is you know, computers, screens, all of that stuff. You cannot just throw it in the trash.
Leo, luckily, my local Staples takes that. And my local Best Buy took my old TV set, and it was painless.
Nice.
I went in, and I said, I have this big old TV. The guy said, just bring it downstairs, put it in front of the return desk, and we'll take it from there.
Nice.
So it was super. Anyway, so now this little, to keep my batteries better organized, on Amazon for under $11, I found this little battery organizer. I'm sure you have the deluxe version, but this one holds up to 72 batteries. At the top, there's a little built-in LED battery charger.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
$10.99 with a strange name, Ohuhu.
Oh hoo hoo!
You know the most famous name, I think, in battery storage cases.
Oh hoo hoo! How do you spell oh hoo hoo?
O-H-U-H-U. And there's a picture of it on my website under your page. So basically, it has dividers in there so that it holds each battery securely enough that you can also hang this on the wall. If you have a shop, it holds like 5, 9 volts and 32.
Oh, this is really sweet.
Double AAs.
Oh, I'm buying this right now.
This is great, isn't it? And at the top, there's a little 3 LED battery tester. And you can either test the batteries while it's in there or just push up on it and it slides out. And so you can take it around where if you want to bring it into the kitchen
because
or someplace
else. Because
we have,
you know, I keep in the pantry, like, boxes of batteries, but, they, you know, it's disorganized. This would be nice.
That's exactly.
Yeah.
And Dennis said, don't you think Leo is one of those? And I said, Leo has one made of stainless steel and it takes up the whole wall.
That I would buy.
Obviously, I was wrong.
You were wrong. I want to know who.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and $10.99, pretty good.
Yeah. Battery storage case. Just kind of organize your fresh batteries so you're ready with them.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, if you want to know more about this, all you do is go to gizwiz.biz. That's Dick's website, gizwiz.biz. Click the what the heck is it? No, I'm sorry. Click the Gizwiz Visits the Tech Guy, and you can find that. Then click the what the heck is it, and you can play the what the heck is it contest, a close-up shot of some gadget or gizmo. And that's clearly a disc for my Play-Doh Fun Factory, but I guess if I said that, you would probably, you know, say you're wrong. Here's the deal. If you can figure out what it is, you're in the drawing for 12 autographed copies of MAGA magazine. If you just come up with a cute, silly, wrong answer, you're in the drawing for 24 of them. You do the math. Find out more, including all the rules, because, you know, we have to have rules in life.
Yes.
At GizWiz. Last one. Biz. Last one was a pencil sharpener.
Yeah, who knew?
You just don't know when you look at these what they are because Dick is tricky. That's what we call him, Tricky Dick. No, wait a minute, that's taken.
That's taken, yes.
Well, I guess we'll keep the Gizwiz. GIZWIZ.BIZ. And don't forget his podcast, the Gizwiz podcast is fun every week with lots of great stuff at gizwiz.tv. Thank you, Dickie D.
Thank you, sir. I'll talk to you next week.
Have a wonderful day. Joe from Berlin, Connecticut's next. Hi, Joe. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Yeah, hi. I got two desktops, one iMac, which I love and use them practically all the time, and the other one is a Dell, was a Windows 7, upgraded to Windows 10, which I did when I had to, so I constantly get, you know, new updates.
Mm-hmm.
But I really hate Windows 10. It's too complicated and terrible. Is there some way I can run my Windows 7, which is now a Windows 10 computer, in a Windows 7 mode, but still keep getting updates like it's Windows 10?
Oh, that's a good question. What in particular, I mean, Windows 7 looks quite a bit like Windows 10, except Windows 10 has some more kind of tablet-focused features. What in particular?
Yeah, it's all those pictures. I mean, I don't have a touch screen. So
you don't like the tiles.
Windows 10 is a waste.
Yeah. All right, yeah. There is a great company called Stardock. Microsoft does not.
I'm a pencil here.
Microsoft does not offer, you know, like a classic mode. They used to do that. Remember in Windows 2000, classic mode?
Yeah. I could actually run that minus Windows 7 on XP mode.
I wish they'd done that, but they didn't. So there's a company called Stardock, Stardock, that makes software designed to customize Windows, and in particular to make Windows look like it used to look. They have a classic menu, for instance, that will take your menu back to the old days minus the tiles. If you look under their object desktop line, you'll see a whole...
First off, Stardock.com.
Stardock. You know, you could find this in the show notes, techguylabs.com, Stardock. Look at the object desktop, because that's got all sorts of things for making Windows easier to use. And I think you get pretty close to Windows 7. Hey, we're out of time. Thanks for joining me, Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy show for today. Thank you so much for being here. And don't forget, it's just the tip of the iceberg. We do nearly 30 shows on the Netcast Network. It's called TWIT, T-W-I-T. It stands for This Week in Tech, and you'll find it at twit.tv, including the podcasts for this show. We talk about Windows on Windows Weekly, Macintosh on Mac Break Weekly, iPads, iPhones, Apple Watches on iOS Today, security and security now. I mean, I can go on and on and on. You even get your daily dose of tech news with Tech News Today. And, of course, the big show every Sunday afternoon, This Week in Tech. You'll find it all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next week with another great Tech Guy show. Thanks for joining me. We'll see you next time.